Online Resources of Santa Cruz and tell them that I, Deborah Lindsay, sent you. And also, remember, tomorrow really matters. Please tell a friend. And stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show, which is coming up next after the CBS News. Have a great Monday, and thank you all for staying tuned.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Hartley Carnes. Counting the hours till the voting begins in Michigan's primaries, Republicans mostly doing the counting.
We want to believe that Michigan is going to make a statement tomorrow, that the Mike Huckabee campaign is on its way to the White House, and Michigan is going to help make that happen.
I believe that we are on the threshold of a great day for Michigan. I know that those old jobs aren't coming back, but there's going to be new jobs created in this state.
That's John McCain, who won Michigan last time around. Mitt Romney grew up there.
Leader in the business world, head of the Olympics in Salt Lake City, and of course is governor of Massachusetts. And I am the only candidate with that kind of experience. And frankly, that's exactly the kind of experience that Michigan and America needs in the White House today.
I'm Steve Kathan in Detroit. The polls show it's down to the wire, McCain and Romney locked in a struggle that could go either way. McCain beat George W. Bush here 8 years ago. He's hoping independents vote for him now as they did then. Romney, who grew up here while his father was in the auto industry and governor, has been banking on the home field advantage, and experts say he desperately needs to win before the major southern primaries.
Democrats have paid little attention to Michigan because the Democratic National Committee won't count the delegates at the convention because Michigan insisted on moving the date so far forward. Two terrorists invaded the Serena Hotel in Kabul, Afghanistan, only luxury hotel in town, place where diplomats and potentates meet, even if they don't stay there. The explosion killed six people, mostly security guards.
There are bomb blast barriers outside the entrance to the hotel. When you go through those bomb blast barriers into a side parking lot, the security there checks vehicles, but people are fairly free to come and go through the lobby after that point.
CBS's Cammie McCormick, one of the dead, is an American citizen. President Bush stayed up past his bedtime to meet with Saudi officials who typically hold business meetings late at night.
I'm Peter Mayer in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. President Bush has discussed concerns about oil prices and supplies in talks with leaders in this energy-rich region. Presidential advisor Ed Gillespie will only say the talks have covered the nature of the market and demands. He would not comment on whether the president asked for or received any promises on prices or supplies. Oil prices have doubled since President Bush's last meeting with Saudi King Abdullah less than 3 years ago. The Saudis have 25% of the world's proven oil reserves.
MySpace goes the extra yard to help keep young people safer from sexual predators who crawl through the web. It's an agreement with the attorney generals of 45 states.
Every image and video that is uploaded to the site will be viewed. They're also going to delete any known registered sex offenders.
Linda Ahern at Parents for Megan's Law likes it. MySpace will also require a kind of internet passport for entry to the site, which should make it more difficult for the evil adults to get inside. Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 172 points today, the Nasdaq up 38. This is CBS News.
Running low on ink? Office Depot can take care of you. We guarantee to be in stock on top brands of ink you need to keep printing. And Office Depot guarantees you low prices on ink, so you never have to worry about paying too much. Plus, use your Office Depot WorkLife Rewards card and get 10% back in rewards. Office Depot, taking care of business. Certain restrictions apply. See store for details. Rewards are paid quarterly as an Office Depot reward card when you earn a minimum of $10 in rewards. Excludes HP.
Ready, everybody? Sammy, put down the rich chocolate Ovaltine hot. Okay, here comes the beep. Hi, you've reached the Connors. Beth?
Jerry?
And Samantha?
We can't get to the phone right now
because I want to finish my Ovaltine hot. It's the best hot chocolate in the whole wide world.
Sammy?
It has vitamins and stuff, but I just like the taste. Yummy, creamy, chocolatey, and
Sammy?
Ovaltine hot makes my belly feel all warm inside and
Sammy?
Oh, leave a message.
That went well.
More Ovaltine, please.
One new high-tech car doesn't have much going for it where battery range is concerned, but it sure drew a crowd at the Detroit Auto Show.
The Fisker Karma looks like any other sports car with similar performance statistics, but it can go 50 miles on a charge of electricity, and an onboard generator keeps it going after that.
I wanted to make just a really sexy green car.
And that's really what we have done, and it's not small. It fits four grown-up people with luggage.
Founder Henrik Fisker wants to have this vehicle on sale next year at a price around $80,000. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
40 floors is a long way to fall. A worker fell at a hotel condo tower being built in the Soho section of New York City by Donald Trump. The worker died, and three other people were taken to a hospital, too, with serious injuries today. According to witnesses, part of the crane appeared to break while loaded with huge steel beams, though those witnesses are not experts in the matter. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
You may have to experience Bose Quiet Comfort acoustic noise-canceling headphones to believe them. They're designed to reduce the distractions around you, so you can hear your music more clearly when you fly, when you work, when you relax. Call 800-845-2673 right now to try them for 30 days risk-free. Quiet Comfort headphones offer an unmatched combination of audio performance, noise reduction, and comfortable fit. Connect them to your portable MP3 or DVD player. Use them without an audio source to simply enjoy some peace. Order yours right now. 800-845-2673. That's 800-845-2673. Purchase QC headphones by January 31st and receive $50 toward select Bose products purchased at the same time. Conditions and limitations apply. Call for details. Choose Bose QC3 headphones for an on-ear fit or QC2 headphones for an around-ear fit. Order them now at 800-845-2673 and experience the difference Bose technology makes. 800-845-2673.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you're listening. We've got a lot to talk about and a lot of great people to talk with on the programs today. Lots of room for your phone calls, too. Do you have the numbers? It's 888-5-PETER-B. We'll kick off today's program with a look at the media's treatment of Hillary and McCain last week. Paul Waldman, in a moment, will join us from Media Matters for America. Also this hour, Scott Ritter, former U.S. Marine, now a firefighter in suburban New York, and he also was a U.N. weapons inspector. Scott Ritter and Jeff Cohen, who is a media critic, co-founder of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, a former producer of The Phil Donahue Show when it was, well, when they let liberals on MSNBC. They are doing a national tour, and Tuesday they're in Walnut Creek, Wednesday in Sacramento, Thursday in Santa Cruz, all within the sound of my voice. So they'll tell you what they're up to. They're trying to educate people about the threat of a war with Iran and the media's coverage or failure to cover all that. Also on today's program, New York Times Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter David K. Johnston returns to our show. His new book is called Free Lunch. And it describes how the ultra-rich get even richer by doing projects that allow them to tap into taxpayer subsidies. And the first chapter of the book starts off near Coos Bay, Oregon. If you're listening on KBBR, be sure you're with us an hour from now when David K. Johnston joins the program. Melanie Sloan from Crew will be with us today. She'll take a victory lap with the announcement of John Doolittle's retirement from the Congress. He's in District 4 in California, a Republican, and that district starts in the Sacramento suburbs, goes all the way to the Oregon border. He, of course, was knee-deep in the Abramoff scandal and made up a few of his own scandals, and the Republicans apparently gave him the strong hint that it's time for him to retire. So we'll get the lowdown on that from Melanie Sloan. That's coming up in our third hour today. As always, you can call in toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Paul Waldman is a senior fellow at Media Matters for America. Their website is mediamatters.org. Paul, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Peter. How are you?
Nice to talk with you again. First time in the new year. And you folks are real busy over there. When I logged on to Media Matters for a moment, I thought that the Chris Matthews fan club had hacked in and taken over your homepage.
Well, Mr. Matthews has been busy.
Yes, he has.
And it's really, you know, what happened after the New Hampshire primary, I think, is really interesting, that Matthews, and I think deservedly so, became a symbol for a lot of people of a lot of the excesses of the media, the pundits, particularly with regard to Hillary Clinton. But I think that, this is really building up from a frustration that, that's even much larger than her. I can explain what happened for those people who are not too familiar. As most of your listeners probably know, there was something of a backlash when Hillary Clinton had that moment in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, where she got emotional, and then there was this immediate media piling on. It was on for about 24 hours before the primary started, and there was a lot of evidence that drove a lot of women voters in New Hampshire to Hillary Clinton. And I have to say, I don't know if this has been your experience, Peter, but in the days since, I've talked to about a dozen different women who have said to me, you know, I'm not a Hillary Clinton supporter, I'm voting for Obama, but when I saw all of that criticism that she got, all that piling on, it made me so angry that I really was considering voting for Hillary Clinton. I've heard that again and again and again from people.
Well,
and Matthews was really the one who was leading that charge.
Yeah, I think he became an icon for that. To be fair, there were a lot of attacks on Hillary Clinton in the days leading up, and she handled them quite deftly. And I'm not a big booster of the senators, but I certainly give her credit for the way she managed both the debate on Saturday night and then the shock jock kids from Boston who came and tried to retell a joke that ends in "iron my shirts." And the teared-up scene that many people thought was going to be the next Ed Muskie moment actually played to her advantage. And likewise, I do think that whether Chris Matthews is the sole focus or not, that the media created a certain backlash, first of all by reporting the polls that showed Barack Obama so far up and expected to handily defeat Senator Clinton, and also just the way the media was so smug and overpowering. And, of course, those adjectives describe Chris Matthews as well as others.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a larger issue with regard to him that, we have been pointing out, which is simply the issue of sexism. And this really is only partly about Senator Clinton, whether you're a supporter of hers or not. I mean, we've collected all kinds of comments that he's made, misogynistic comments, just like one after the other of women who appear on his show, and he comments on their looks. When Nancy Pelosi became Speaker of the House, he asked whether or not she was going to castrate Steny Hoyer, who's her second in command, the House Majority Leader. He's talked about male politicians who've endorsed Hillary Clinton as being eunuchs. There's obviously this kind of psychosexual, not even a subtext, a text. You know, as far as he and some other people seem to be concerned, if a powerful woman gets into, if a woman gets into a position of power, then she steals the manhood of those men who are around her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was this one incident that was truly appalling with Aaron Burnett, who's an economics reporter for MSNBC. She came on his show for the first time. He said over and over again how great looking she was, and then at the end told her to move closer to the camera, and said it a few times, and she was very confused, didn't know what was going on. He said it again and again, and then finally said, "Oh, I'm just kidding, you're great looking." And what it reminded me of is that scene in the movie 9 to 5 where Dabney Coleman knocks something off his desk so that Dolly Parton will lean over to pick it up and he can look down her shirt.
Yeah.
You know, so this stuff has been going on for a long time with Chris Matthews. It's not just about Hillary Clinton. It's not just about Nancy Pelosi. It's a bigger problem.
Ha! And it's also that awful laugh that he has. I can't quite capture it, but out of the middle of nowhere, ha! You know, it's just like, wow, did somebody goose him? Was there, you know, an electrical prod on his chair? Or exactly what caused that? The other side of it, Paul Waldman, is that he has been an unabashed booster of Rudy Giuliani. And in the same way that you can describe misogynist comments of his, particularly directed toward Senator Clinton, He embraces Rudy Giuliano, Rudy Giuliani, with all the macho talk available. And he owns 9/11. He's the only one who's tough enough. You know, the Democrats want to have a meeting and the Republicans want to have a leader. I mean, his commentary is replete with this yin and yang.
Yeah, it's the other side of that same coin. When he talks about Giuliani, you're right, it's all about how tough he is and how manly he is. You know, he once sort of fantasized about whether Giuliani would be able to beat Mahmoud Ahmadinejad in a street fight. So those are the politicians that he admires, the ones who seem like they're manly. You know, it just so happens that this is plays right into a constant line of attack that Republicans use against Democrats in almost every presidential election. If you look back, really ever since 1968 or so, that's one of the core arguments that they make, sometimes in very subtle ways, that the Republican candidate is strong and manly, and the Democratic candidate is weak and effeminate. That's what we always hear about. We heard about John Kerry, we heard about Al Gore, we heard about Bill Clinton, going all the way back to Hubert Humphrey. I'm not saying that he's consciously trying to do the Republicans' work for them, but that does seem to be the way it ends up working out, because that's the same kind of story that they want the public to hear.
And let's listen to a clip. This came off the new Scarborough show on MSNBC that replaced the video part of the Don Imus show in the morning. And I think Chris was really pissed here because he had to get up so early to be on a show that nobody watches. But this is what he had to say the morning after the Clinton victory in New Hampshire.
Well, I don't know if they all read the New
York
Post.
And taking after her for crying.
Look, I think that may be true. I think the Hillary appeal has always been somewhat about her mix of toughness and sympathy for her. Let's not forget, and I'll be brutal, the reason she's a U.S. senator, the reason she's a candidate for president, the reason she may be a front runner is her husband messed around.
Yeah, but
that's how she got to be senator from New York. We keep forgetting it. She didn't win there on her merit. She won because everybody felt, my God, this woman stood up under humiliation. Right? That's what happened. That's how it happened. In 1998, she went to New York and campaigned for Chuck Schumer as almost like the grieving widow of absurdity. And she did it so well,
okay,
courageously. But it was about the humiliation of Bill Clinton.
No, okay. Well, you could take it a step back and say that she put Bill Clinton where he is, and then he messed around, and then she was humiliated, and people felt sorry for her.
That is all
Testament
stuff.
Than being
I agree.
All right, it's spinning out of control there as they go to a break, and four people are talking at the same time. But those are remarkable comments from Mr. Matthews, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, you know, it seems like every time he opens his mouth on this, he keeps digging himself further into this hole. But, you know, there's a couple of different things going on. First of all, there's this kind of pattern of sexism, and then there's his particular antagonism toward Bill and Hillary Clinton, we've documented the sort of torrent of negative statements about her. And he was quoted once in Philadelphia Magazine saying, I hate her, all that she stands for. And so he has some pretty strong personal feelings about Hillary Clinton, and this is how it comes out, that this idea that, you know, she never got anything by her own merit. And again, this you don't have to be a supporter of Hillary Clinton to think that there's something wrong here. And I think that that's what we've seen with regard to him and with regard to a lot of media figures, that even people who are supporting Obama or even Republicans think that this kind of talk is really problematic.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I give points and some kudos to Rachel Maddow of Air America Radio, who was on MSNBC during the coverage on election night. They put her in a booth with Pat Buchanan, which is a challenge to begin with. But she blurted it out right in front of Matthews. She said, who are they blaming for this late showing and a big vote for Hillary? They're blaming Chris Matthews. People are citing specifically Chris not only for his own views, but also as a symbol of what the mainstream media has done to Hillary Clinton. And Matthews responded, well, my influence in American politics looms over the people. I'm overwhelmed myself. We do have to put it in perspective that only, you know, about a million or a million and a half people watch his show on a regular basis. So he's not as well known as many of the other anchors. But he is known in an iconic way or as kind of a character in this little drama that has developed. So it is interesting that some people specifically cite him to represent the excesses of the corporate media. Paul, we got to run to a break. We'll pick up after that and talk a little bit about how the media has been, well, greenwashing John McCain. We'll talk about that in just a moment. You want to join us? Lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. If you saw something in the media that just pushed your buttons, turn them in. Call me now, 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers for alcohol and drug treatment. Go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia's the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me. At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa
News,
Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso
calls.
Drinks,
if
whether it's a traditional
America,
Italian-style cappuccino
right
or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
This is an important message from Brian McGuff, Iraq War veteran and Purple Heart recipient.
More and more troops and veterans of Iraq believe George Bush's military policy has been a disaster. I am one of them. Rush Limbaugh called vets like me phony soldiers for telling the truth about Iraq.
The Rush Limbaugh Show, September 26th.
Welcome to the EIB Network. Hello.
Hi, Rush. Thanks for taking my call. They never talk to real soldiers. They like to pull these soldiers to come up out of the blue and stop the media.
The phony soldiers.
Rush, the shrapnel I took to my head was real, my traumatic brain injury was real, and my belief that we are on the wrong course in Iraq is real. And so you have the guts to call me a phony soldier to my face, stop telling lies about my service.
Tell Rush Limbaugh to stop insulting America's troops and veterans. Call 800-282-2882. Paid for by Vote Vets Action Fund.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're taking it on the road tomorrow. I'll be live from KSAC, the studios of 1240 Talk City in Sacramento. We'll be talking about the movie Uncounted with filmmaker David Earnhardt, and also Brad Friedman will be with us. And the Lieutenant Governor of California, John Garamendi, will stop by the program as well. Then we'll be over at the Crest Theater in Sacramento for two screenings. One starts at 5:30 before I get off the air, and I'll be there at the end of that screening to conduct some Q&A with Brad and David Earnhardt. And then there's another screening at 8 o'clock, too. So that's all happening tomorrow in Sacramento. I hope to see you there in one form or another. We continue with Paul Waldman from Media Matters for America. Lots of callers on the line. Let's jump to Dave in Eureka. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. Paul, I am increasingly convinced day by day that these elections are being totally rigged. Those machines were designed to cheat, and cheat they do. The neocons have selected Hillary for us, and they're giving us Hillary. Most everybody I know wants Kucinich. They're taking away all his votes. I think that's the reality we got to face.
All right, Dave, I appreciate that comment. I do think that those of us who are concerned about the election process need to continue to monitor and see if the recount in New Hampshire that has been requested by Kucinich and a very minor Republican candidate whose name escapes me, we'll see where that leads us. But there were certainly anomalies between the pre-election polls and the exit polls and the actual results announced, and that is something we need to dig deeper into. Paul, you have a comment?
Yeah, I don't know if anybody is having their vote stolen in a particular way right now so far in this race, but what I do know is that it is an abomination that 8 years after the Florida debacle, or I guess 7 years and a little bit after the Florida debacle, we still have not managed to fix the system by which we vote in this country. And in the United States of America, the oldest democracy on earth, we do not know for sure that when we go into the polling place and we cast our ballots that they're actually being counted and being counted accurately. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's abominable. And the Congress should do something about it. Every state should be instituting bulletproof voting systems. But the fact that it hasn't happened, I think, is in no small part due to the fact that there's one party in this country that really does not want everybody to vote, and they're going to put up roadblocks. And then there are some economic interests in play, too, though, the companies that make the voting machines.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of those, the roadblocks have to be overcome, but there's no reason why we can't do this.
And that we shouldn't have confidence in the elections that we participate in. Let's go to Jim in Palo Alto. Thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show, Jim.
Yeah, thanks, Peter. I wanted to talk about the hit job that the media does when the candidate is kind of against the corporate world.
Mm-hmm.
For example, my candidate, Kucinich, Russert asks him what question? UFOs.
Right.
To ridicule him. Then I hear somebody come on one of these talk shows and they say, well, Kucinich is my man. I'd like to vote for him, but he talks about UFOs too much.
Yeah, yeah. So, the other one is John Edwards is being described as too angry by some right-wingers.
Yes.
And David Brooks on the PBS NewsHour last week made an assertion without trying to offer any backup whatsoever. He said, you know, over the last 30 years, all the polls have shown that only about 20% of Americans have questions about the ethics and values of corporations. And he said, you know, he said that AT&T polls with an 80% approval rating. Nobody challenged him. That is such, I mean, I don't know what orifice he drew that from, but it's bogus. Go ahead.
Right. The media has been controlling our elections for a long time. I was particularly incensed when Bush, the one we have now, was running, and they were asking him about marijuana, and they turned it into, oh, politics of personal destruction.
Right.
And so he never answered the question. And a year later, he says, oh, yeah, I smoke pot, and why didn't you tell us? Well, you know, I did it for the children. So he's just a liar, and the media gave him a free pass. And now when I hear people talk, even liberals on the radio, they think Bush never smoked pot or did anything, and yet he admitted it.
Wait a minute. Are there liberals on the radio? We better track that down. That's a report worth pursuing. Paul Waldman, thanks for joining us today. I want to direct people to MediaMatters.org to read the updates about John McCain and the way the corporate media is treating this new front-running maverick with the same old politics. Thank you, Paul. We'll talk again soon.
All right, Peter.
My pleasure. Coming up next, Jeff Cohen and former weapons inspector Scott Ritter on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments, providing a unique perspective to investors for over 50 years. Franklin Templeton Investments, gain from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood. 90% of the ice in the world is contained in the vast miles-deep ice sheets of Antarctica that have seemed relatively protected from global warming. The only melting has been limited to the peninsula that's just out toward the tip of South America, up till now. But now, it's become apparent, according to a new paper by Eric Rignot, a senior scientist with NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in the journal Nature Geoscience, that Antarctica as a whole is now losing ice every year, and every year loses more than it did the year before. Now it seems to be losing as much as Greenland, and the oceans are getting more and more water from both the north and the south. So the sea level may rise faster than anybody had thought. Just the other day, the head of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change called this a frightening possibility. More after this.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Running low on ink? Office Depot can take care of you. We guarantee to be in stock on top brands of ink you need to keep printing. And Office Depot guarantees you low prices on ink, so you never have to worry about paying too much. Plus, use your Office Depot WorkLife Rewards card and get 10% back in rewards. Office Depot, taking care of business. Certain restrictions apply. See store for details. Rewards are paid quarterly as an Office Depot reward card when you earn a minimum of $10 in rewards. Excludes HP.
If you're into eBay or just want to make an unbelievable amount of money selling stuff on the internet, then grab a pen to write down a number that could change your life forever.
So far, I've done 100,000 in gross sales.
Generate massive cash selling products you don't have to see, store, or even pay for. Everything you need to get started making money on the internet is on a free CD from Internet Speedway. Call 1-800-390-3011. 1-800-390-3011. 1-800-390-3011.
Do you remember when there were alligators and tropical breadfruit trees in the Arctic? Of course you don't. It was a little before your time, some 91 million years ago. But those ice sheets we've been talking about in Antarctica were formed around the same time, one of the warmest times in history. No humans were around yet. The dinosaurs were roaming the Earth. That would seem to defy logic that giant glaciers would form in a super greenhouse climate, but the fossil evidence is there that this did happen, which calls into question the common assumption that during the previous periods of global warming, the poles became ice-free. Glaciation, the ice ages, and the intervals of 200,000 years or so between glacial forming were apparently due to very slight shifting of the Earth's orbit around the sun. Could something of the sort be happening now? And could that, along with whatever man is doing to create greenhouse gases, be factors in global climate change? Stay tuned. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll try to provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your co-host, along with Mark Leonard. We try to look at current issues from a unique angle and invite our listeners to call in and bring their own different perspective on contemporary affairs. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective, here on KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
This half hour, Scott Ritter, the former weapons inspector, and Jeff Cohen, the media inspector. Can you take it?
I can't take it no more.
outrage from John Fogerty of Creedence fame. Scott Ritter and Jeff Cohen are touring the West Coast. They've got stops tomorrow in Walnut Creek, Wednesday in Sacramento, Thursday in Santa Cruz. That sums it up in a minute and 39 seconds. I can't take it no more. And here we are entering a new year. The presidential candidates have dialed back, except for John McCain, who's bragging about how his surge proposals have made Iraq a safer place. But the Democrats are backing away from the war as a central issue. The exit polls in New Hampshire showed the economy was number one. And following that, we're now hearing about jobs, about a stimulus package, and who can, you know, propose the biggest one. And I think it's really shameful that the war, the risks of war with Iran, the spying on American people through the violation of the FISA law, intentional and ongoing, the torture and detention policies of this administration, Democrats aren't talking about that so much more. Scott Ritter and Jeff Cohen are, though, and as we mentioned, they are touring the country, and they are holding a series of events. The first one in the Bay Area is tomorrow night, Tuesday, January 15, at the Mount Diablo Unitarian Universalist Church. Jeff Cohen, welcome back to our program.
Hey, it's great to be with you.
Nice to talk with you again. And Scott Ritter, always a pleasure to have you on.
Oh, thanks.
And let me turn to Jeff first. Where did this idea come from, and what is your mission statement here? What are you trying to engage people on?
Well, as you say, Democrats aren't talking about it in a certainly in a critical way. Corporate media isn't doing a very good job talking about Iran and Iraq. So this is an effort. The group is called U.S. Tour of Duty that coordinates these talks for people like Scott Ritter, people like the former CIA analyst Ray McGovern, people like former Ambassador Ed Peck, to try to go around in town meeting style gatherings and talk about the real threat we have from our own government and its provocative actions toward Iran and this endless occupation and how dangerous that is to the United States and to U.S. Interests, U.S. foreign policy, not to mention to the Iraqi people.
Now, Scott Ritter, Karl Rove left the White House, and he can get $30,000 to $50,000 a speech. Alberto Gonzalez gets paid that much. I hope you're getting paid at least your expenses and a stipend, but somehow I don't think you're doing this for money.
No, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, life has to be altered in whatever way necessary to pay the bills and sustain a family. But you know, if I wanted to do this for money, I'd become a neoconservative and get on the right wing, you know, lecture circuit. I do this because I believe in it, and I'm sure Jeff Cohen's the same way, and Ed Peck and Ray McGovern. This isn't about, you know, making money. Absolutely, you know, you've got to sustain this, and you know, we there is an income stream involved, but I know Jeff has and others. You know, we've done this for free. We've paid out of pocket. The goal is to empower people with knowledge and information so that they can have a more positive impact on, you know, issues of such criticality.
Yeah. And Jeff Cohen, let's focus on the media for a moment here, because we are seeing the rosy reports from our government repeated without any critical reporting or investigation, A, that the surge is working, and B, that you know, we're going to start to draw down forces because the surge is working. We're drawing down forces because we have to. And the idea that the surge is working is certainly open to question, because, yes, American combat deaths have declined, and we're certainly grateful for that. But the situation on the ground there is not stable, and the way we have paid off the warlords in Anbar province, and we're going to we announced just over the weekend that we're planning to hand off Anbar to Iraqi control in the next couple of months. But when the money stops flowing, it's hard to imagine that their loyalties will remain where they are today.
Right. I think the reason we do these town meetings is because if you trust the corporate media, you're utterly clueless about the situation in Iraq today. To understand what's going on in Iraq, you have to get independent media sources. You have to read the British Guardian and the Independent and reporters like Patrick Coburn, who has, by the way, recently described Iraq as it's basically become a nation of warlords. And, you know, when you have 2.3 million people who are exiles from their own country in Iraq, and 2.3 million people who are internally displaced inside their country of Iraq, and their population is something like 27 million to begin with, then you're talking about a calamitous situation that has been brought about by the occupation and in many ways keeps getting worse. The violence is down in Baghdad, and Scott Ritter is quite an expert on the latest in Iraq, but the violence is down, and in many ways it's because that city has been ethnically cleansed and ethnically divided with tall walls and security checkpoints. And, you know, that is not a framework for a Iraqi government or an Iraqi society in the future. We've created an utter mess.
Mm-hmm.
It gets worse. And you watch, as you say, you look at the U.S. news media, and it's just you're sort of soothed that things are somehow getting better, and we can now look at other issues and discuss other matters because Iraq is pretty much settled.
Yeah. Scott Ritter, are we getting any kind of truth out of the media about the current status in Iraq?
No, I mean, there's a handful of reporters who are gathering information, but, you know, it's all a question of the packaging. I was on a panel a couple months ago with a reporter from, I believe it was Newsweek, and very proud of his reporting, and he claimed that he had been reporting the truth on certain issues. And I said, well, that's just absolutely not the case. You may have had a fact inserted into an article that had your byline, but the bottom line is your editors picked the title, and your editors packaged the story so that your truth, in quotations, was embedded and countered with other bullet points that reinforced a completely different message. I mean, to say the surge is working is an absolute misrepresentation of fact. I call Iraq a sucking chest wound, and all we've done is put a cosmetic bandage over it. We haven't solved any of the underlying problems. We still have the Mahdi army. The Muqtadir al-Sadr is still there. We haven't resolved this issue. He has unilaterally decided not to engage in a conflict. The problem out in Anbar province, we bribed the Sunnis to come onto our side. We created these Sunni militias that are at total odds with the central Iraqi government. The Iraqi government hates these people. There's still a Sunni-Shia divide. The Sunnis are only with us so long as we empower them. But the second we turn on them and say, no, you've got to incorporate or dissolve, they'll go back to being the insurgency. And we see up north in Kurdistan that Kurdistan itself is fracturing apart with Turkish incursions and infighting, etc. We haven't resolved anything. The media is not reporting on this accurately. They continue to give General Petraeus, they continue to give Congress and the President a pass when it comes to, you know, this concept of the surge and the, you know, so-called success of the surge.
Well, and during this charm tour of the Middle East, Bush let drop that at minimum he thinks U.S. troops will be in Iraq for another 10 years, and he really couldn't put a number on exactly, when he sees an end date. That's not particularly surprising, but again, this is an issue that he's been asked about at American news conferences and permitted to dodge, and I think it was in the Emirates where he finally responded to that question. Jeff?
Yeah, I think that if it is allowed, if we leave it to the U.S. government leaders, our troops will be in Iraq basically forever.
The Korea model.
Yeah, I mean, it's right, the South Korea model.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to understand that when the U.S. media tries to put the best gloss on the current situation in Iraq, what they're really doing, they have an interest in doing that because they were so complicit in starting the war in the first place. And that when you look at any of the big news outlets, you have to understand their complicity in taking comments and claims and accusations that were patently false and scaring the whole country and the world into war. And given that track record, and remember, I was in cable news at the time.
Yep.
Given that track record, I think, and I've sensed it from people that I worked with inside TV news, they've just always got this almost knee-jerk effort to try to defend, to try to find some silver lining. And I think that's what you've been seeing in the last few years. One of the most outrageous things, especially in the last 6 months, one of the most outrageous things about 6 months ago is when two of the biggest proponents of invading Iraq, Ken Pollack and a guy named O'Hanlon, connected to the Brookings Institution,
Stuart,
they pushed for the invasion of Iraq. They'd argued in support of a troop increase, the so-called surge, and then they were allowed by the New York Times to write an op-ed column saying that they'd been longtime war critics.
Yeah.
And then they began to dominate. For about 5 days, they dominated all the TV networks, and the tone of the coverage was, even these two war critics now realize the surge is working. And when you look at that kind of coverage, and you know that people in the media, we all knew who Ken Pollack was. He was the guy you'd bring on before the invasion of Iraq to talk about how smooth it was going to go and how important it was that there be an invasion and there be an invasion of Iraq soon. And to have that guy be portrayed as, wow, even this former war critic says the surge is going well, then you realize TV networks are not engaging in anything remotely resembling journalism. It's just war propaganda. And frankly, it's as bad today as it was when I was in the inside, right before the invasion in 2003.
That's Jeff Cohen. His most recent book is Cable News Confidential. Also with us is Scott Ritter, and they are appearing Wednesday in Walnut Creek along with former Ambassador Edward Peck, who is chief of mission in Iraq. And, gentlemen, if one of you has the details, I do have the details about Walnut Creek, but not Sacramento or Santa Cruz, so if you could gather that right after the break, I'll ask you to run that down for our listeners, and hopefully as many as possible will be able to attend. Let's go to John in Santa Rosa calling in, listening on Green 960. Hello, John.
Hey, Peter B. Hey, Jeff, Scott.
Hey.
Thank you guys for all you do. I was astounded to see that Bush said that he did not agree with the National Intelligence Estimate's conclusions about Iranian nuclear activity having ceased in 2003, at least with regard to bomb making. And, you know, barring some basic competence on his part or some separate investigation or maybe some supernatural information, I can't fathom how it's possible that he could disagree with the best efforts of our 16 major intelligence agencies, but nonetheless he did that, and that seems consistent with the other highlights of the alleged Iranian encounter with the U.S. Navy and the ongoing Bush bellicose statements about Iran. And my question for you is, in light of his comparatively short time in office, in light of his, what I imagine are diminished expectations about what he can do in Iran, what do the Cheneys, Edelmans, Grossmans, Plates, and so on, Pearls of the world, want to do in Iran?
All right,
is it just Osiris? Is it?
Let me cut you here. Let's get a comment from Scott Ritter. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, I don't know what the particular individuals in question want to do in Iran. I do know that there is a policy in play today on the part of the Bush administration that's linked to a national security strategy that speaks of regional transformation, regional domination, the United States dividing the world into spheres of strategic interest, and we dominate them militarily, economically, politically. And the Middle East is one such region, and the Bush administration has said that there are certain nations in the Middle East whose governments are incompatible with our vision, and we want them gone. And we defined Iraq is one, Iran is one. And the policy of the Bush administration is regime change, and I believe that's what the president is pushing for.
Yeah. And Scott and Jeff, I would also recommend Naomi Klein's new book called The Shock Doctrine, where she links our use of torture and economic shock policies to Milton Friedman's Chicago School of Economics. It's really powerful and offers an explanation as to why the hell we went into Iraq. We're going to take a break and return with Jeff Cohen and Scott Ritter. They're appearing Tuesday night in Walnut Creek, Wednesday in Sacramento, Thursday in Santa Cruz. We'll get the details on those events right after this break. And if you want to call in, lines available at 888-5-PETER-B, The Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Tom Hartman.
We have an economy in the United States right now that is being held together by spit and glue and rubber bands.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
And basically the glue and the rubber bands, the spit arguably is just hype that everything's going to be okay. And the glue and the rubber bands are debt. We have a debt-based economy and war. The manufacturing of weapons of mass destruction. Weapons of death.
Tom Hartman. Live every morning 9 to noon on KRXA 540.
Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made in filling out applications, deadlines are overlooked, and ultimately it's the student who loses out on desperately needed funds. R.J. Moyer, president of AboutCollegeFunding.com, offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching, and we do specialize in late-stage college funding planning. Regardless of your income, assets, or home equity, I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings. But you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Jeff Cohen. He's a media critic and the author of Cable News Confidential. Scott Ritter is with us, the former U.S. Marine and U.N. weapons inspector. Many books to his credit. And they are appearing, as we mentioned, tomorrow night, Tuesday, and that is January 15th in Walnut Creek. And that is at the Mount Diablo Unitarian Universalist Church, 55 Eckley Lane, and things get underway about 7 p.m. Scott or Jeff, do you guys have the details on your locations in Sacramento and Santa Cruz?
Yes.
Okay, Jeff, go ahead.
Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock in Sacramento. We're at the John F. Kennedy High School, 6 o'clock in Sacramento. That's a great organization, Teach Peace Foundation, that gets high school students involved in peace advocacy and lobbying in Washington. And then Thursday night, 7 p.m., we're in Santa Cruz at the First Congregational Church. That's the First Congregational Church of Santa Cruz, 7 p.m. Thursday. And, the, you know, the one of the co-sponsors is Ann Simonton and Media Watch.
Okay, great. And I hope listeners in all these areas can come out and hear you talk and support the work that you're doing.
And, you know, Peter, the website that has all of the details is U.S. Tour of Duty.
TourofDuty.com, you think?
I think it's .org, U.S. Tour of Duty. If anyone who Googles it will find it, and it's got every detail.
Okay, great. And before the break, we were talking with a caller, and I referenced Naomi Klein's book. Scott, have you had a chance to read that yet?
I have a copy of it, and I have leafed through it, but I have not read it cover to cover.
Okay. Well, after you have, maybe you could drop me an email. I'd love to have you on the show because I think she's made some very powerful connections there. Jeff, are you familiar with the book?
Oh, yeah. I haven't read the book, but I know the argument, and I know I've read all the excerpts. It's powerful. I mean, you know, when the U.S. foreign policy papers were talking about how we have to achieve full-spectrum dominance, sea, land, air, they were talking about dominance so that we could protect U.S. interests and investments.
Mm-hmm.
The connection of multinational corporations to U.S. foreign policy is very, very dangerous. Middle-class Americans may not benefit from these threats to Iran and the ongoing everlasting occupation of Iraq, but there's a bunch of companies that make money from that kind of instability and that kind of warfare.
Yeah. Scott Ritter, I understand that you and Jeff Cohen tried to make a trip to Iran recently, and so far you have not been able to obtain visas from the Iranian government. Is that right?
Well, actually, Jeff did get a visa, and so did Ambassador Peck. The problem is they got the wrong kind of visas. I guess there's an issue inside Iran that if we're going to have the kind of discussions at the level that we were requesting, that we will require journalist visas, and that was the holdup. You know, we cleared our schedules to go to Iran. Unfortunately, the Iranians weren't able to get the visas issued in time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't given up on it, and I'm hopeful. I know that they're still pushing to get the visas, and if and when that occurs, I will definitely be going to Iran. It's just too important not to.
Yeah. And, Scott, what do you make of the dust-up a week ago Sunday? A three-ship U.S. Navy convoy claimed that these five Iranian speedboats were razzing them. We now know that the Pentagon doctored the video, inserted audio. The audio may be from a wacky guy on shore who likes to make phony radio calls to mess with the minds of the Americans in the Persian Gulf. Who should we believe in this incident, and will it go away, or is this something that Bush and Cheney really want to seize upon?
Well, look, this is not a decision that was made by, you know, a Navy commander at some low level. The doctoring of video and the insertion of audio, this is done by, you know, somebody who's trying to manipulate the media. In this case, somebody in the U.S. government. And the fact that this manipulation has now translated itself into official policy statements by the president and others means that there's a linkage there. Who should we believe? Well, I'll believe the side that conducts the fewest amount of video manipulations, and that's the Iranians. On this one, the Iranians are, being above board. They haven't done anything wrong. The United States is the one that's making a mountain out of a non-existent molehill, fabricating a crisis, and the president's jumping on it and trying to fan these flames into a larger conflagration. It's definitely part of the Bush administration's policy of creating the conditions where the American public will accept the necessity of military conflict with Iran.
Scott Ritter, thank you for speaking up and speaking out. Always a pleasure to have you on the program. Jeff Cohen, likewise.
Thank you.
And again, they are appearing Tuesday night in Walnut Creek at the Mount Diablo Unitarian Universalist Church, Wednesday at JFK High School in Sacramento, and Thursday at the First Congregational Church in Santa Cruz. Catch up with them on the web at ustourofduty.org, we think. Jeff, Scott, thank you very much.
Thank you
very much.
David K. Johnston joins us next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
this election tells us the exit polls were right. George Bush lost this election.
An explosive new documentary.
The scope of the theft is almost unfathomable.
Journalist Bob Kohler calls it very powerful. Urgent viewing if you care about democracy.
With these machines, you can alter the outcome of a national election undetectably.
Mr. Curtis, are there programs that can be used to secretly fix elections?
Yes. I wrote a prototype that did just that.
What he found was an extraordinary threat to national security.
A vital and important work, says journalist Brad Friedman.
Look at the pattern of the past few elections. We have every reason to believe that the 2008 election is going to be manipulated.
See the West Coast premiere of Uncounted, Sacramento, tomorrow night at the Crest Theater. Two screenings, 5:30 and 8 p.m. And in Oakland at the Grand Lake this Thursday at 7 p.m. Details at uncountedthemovie.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Michigan is the battleground, and the issue is the economy.
I'm lucky if I can find a $10 an hour job here. It's hard. It's really hard.
New findings on cholesterol drugs.
Vytorin and Zetia should now be used as drugs of last resort.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Mitt Romney portrays himself as the favorite son in Michigan's Republican primary tomorrow.
It's good to be back in Michigan. You know, somehow everything just seems right here.
He grew up there when his father was an auto executive and later governor.
I won't need to be briefed on what's going on in the auto industry or what's happening to Michigan's economy. You see, I've got Michigan in my DNA. I got it in my heart, and I've got cars in my bloodstream.
He also portrays himself as the best person to revive the state's manufacturing economy. CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan looked into that.
Ronald Horn wants a good-paying factory job, but there are few to be had here in the Detroit area. Instead, he's gathering shopping carts at a department store.
You can't just go out and just find a job at a factory no more. You got to, like, really work hard, like go find different sources to find jobs. Now it's harder than it was before.
He says his brother and many of his friends are, in his words, in the same boat, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. Steve Kathan, CBS News, Southfield, Michigan.
John McCain says some of those jobs aren't coming back. He claims he can revive the economy by cutting fat from the federal budget.
We eliminate this wasteful, disgraceful, earmarked pork barrel spending in Washington, and there'll be plenty of money to go around for the right things and not the wrong things.
The focus for the leading Democrats is Nevada on Saturday and Super Tuesday beyond. On the eve of Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, Hillary Clinton campaign today in New York.
How many of us ever could have dreamed that we would see the day when a woman and an African American are running for the presidency of the United States of America?
Clinton's been criticized by some Barack Obama supporters for her recent remark that Dr. King's dream of racial equality was realized only when President Lyndon Johnson signed the 1964 Civil Rights Act. Now this.
9, 10, 11.
Hey, Zinc, what's with the push-ups?
100! Oh, hey, Vitamin A. Just beefing up for the new Centrum Silver. It's all about health protection.
And how do we help protect people's health?
By getting totally buff.
No, Zinc. We help protect people's health by working together. Like CNE supporting natural cell repair.
So I did 100 push-ups for nothing?
No, you did 12 push-ups for nothing.
New age-adjusted Centrum Silver. Working better together.
From A to Zinc.
Former Hershey syrup users are telling us why they switched to Rich Chocolate Ovaltine.
I was looking for something more nutritious for the kids because they drink a lot of chocolate milk. I never really thought about Ovaltine until we went to my mother-in-law's house. Now, that's all we drink. I even got my mom to try Ovaltine. She was a die-hard Hershey syrup person. She was here watching the kids, so she had to drink Rich Chocolate Ovaltine. She loved the Ovaltine taste. Now she drinks it too.
Ovaltine. Try it for the nutrition. Keep buying it for the taste.
More Ovaltine, please!
Statins work mainly with the liver. Zetia works in the digestive tract like some other medicines.
It's one of the most heavily advertised prescription drugs, but Zetia was discredited in clinical trials just made public by Merck and Shearing Plough, the companies which jointly market Zetia, and Vytorin, a drug that combines Zetia with the cholesterol drug Zocor.
Vytorin was not better than plain old generic Zocor. And in fact, if anything, it was a little bit worse.
Dr. Stephen Nissen, head of cardiology at the Cleveland Clinic, says the studies found no evidence that Zetia or Vytorin reduce plaque in the arteries or do anything to prevent heart attack and stroke. MySpace, the online social networking site, has reached an agreement with 45 states on measures to screen out sexual predators.
Our hope is that this agreement will lead to higher standards because the industry has to aim higher to keep kids safer.
Connecticut Attorney General Richard Blumenthal says MySpace will be subject to independent monitoring. The Israeli-Palestinian peace talks are at the top of President Bush's agenda as he makes the rounds in the Middle East, but he's also raising the oil issue.
I'm Peter Mayer in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. President Bush has discussed concerns about oil prices and supplies in talks with leaders in this energy-rich region. Presidential adviser Ed Gillespie will only say the talks have covered the nature of the market and demands. He would not comment on whether the president asked for or received any promises on prices or supplies. Oil prices have doubled since President Bush's last meeting with Saudi King Abdullah less than 3 years ago. The Saudis have 25% of the world's proven oil reserves. Peter Mayer, CBS News, with the president in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Running low on ink? Office Depot can take care of you. We guarantee to be in stock on top brands of ink you need to keep printing. And Office Depot guarantees you low prices on ink, so you never have to worry about paying too much. Plus, use your Office Depot WorkLife Rewards card and get 10% back in rewards. Office Depot, taking care of business. Certain restrictions apply. See store for details. Rewards are paid quarterly as an Office Depot reward card when you earn a minimum of $10 in rewards. Excludes HP.
Ready, everybody? Sammy, put down the rich chocolate Ovaltine hot. Okay, here comes the beep. Hi, you've reached the Connors. Beth.
Jerry.
And Samantha.
We can't get to the phone right now
because I want to finish my Ovaltine hot. It's the best hot chocolate in the whole wide world.
Sammy.
It has vitamins and stuff, but I just like the taste. Yummy, creamy, chocolatey, and
Sammy.
Ovaltine hot makes my belly feel all warm inside and
Sammy.
Oh, leave a message.
That went well.
More Ovaltine, please.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
The Peter B. Collins Show hits the road tomorrow. We'll be broadcasting live from Sacramento and the studios of our affiliate station, 1240 Talk City, KSAC. And then we'll be over at the Crest Theater at the conclusion of the first screening of Uncounted and before the beginning of the second. Brad Friedman, David Earnhardt. David is the producer-director of Uncounted. They'll kick off the show tomorrow afternoon. We'll talk about election issues. And we'll also announce that $100,000 reward for anybody who comes forward with information suggesting any fraud in the New Hampshire primary count. Next hour on the show, Melanie Sloan makes her weekly visit from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Doing a little dance over there. John Doolittle, the Republican congressman from California's District 4, announced last week that he will be retiring from Congress so he can spend more time with his defense attorneys. Well, that's not actually what he said. Right now, I'm delighted to pronounce the return to our program of Pulitzer Prize winner David K. Johnston. He is a reporter for the New York Times, and I imagine him running the Rochester Bureau, but I'm not sure they actually put him in charge of anything. His new book is called Free Lunch, How the Wealthiest Americans Enrich Themselves at Government Expense. David, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. No, we don't actually have a bureau in Rochester, New York. I live there. And I work mostly from home when I'm not as I am today in New York City.
Uh-huh. Great. And I saw in your bio that you have 8 children. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, it's true.
Wow. Where is the oldest and where's the youngest?
The oldest is in North Carolina, and the youngest is still at home. She's a high school senior. So pretty soon, after 41 years, no more being dad all the time.
Wow. That's quite a legacy you've got there.
Well, David, your new book is fascinating. I read it last night, and what really touched me is that our program is on KBBR in Coos Bay, Oregon. And your book opens with a story of a rich guy developing a golf resort called Bandon Dunes. And later in the book, you describe the government subsidies that he was able to attract to make it a win-win scenario for him and the people who love to play golf with him.
Yes, and the biggest subsidy that he gets, all he has to do is stand there. As I put it, he's in a lucrative place at the right time because our economy in the last 30 years has become embedded with these. These subsidies are built right into the economic scaffolding under all sorts of new laws and policies the government has adopted. So without even asking, this guy gets a subsidy, Mike Kaiser, that by his count equals his payroll for all of his full-time employees, and I mean his complete payroll, and by my count is probably close to double that. But in any event, it's an enormous amount of money that you and I are putting up in tax expense to encourage and promote golf playing by well-to-do Americans, many of them so rich, and this is where the subsidy comes in, that the company has a private jet for them to use.
Well, and you described the Coos Bay International Airport, which I've never had the pleasure of landing at, but you said back in 99 about 3 private jets a year landed at Coos Bay, and now more than 5,000 corporate jets arrive annually?
Yeah, that's it's actually called the North Bend Airport, and that is the official numbers from the manager of the airport. And when the expansion project they're doing now, this is a subsidy that Mike Kaiser, who built the golf course with his own money, wasn't looking for a subsidy. He just happens to be standing in a lucrative place at the right time. When the $31 million taxpayer-funded expansion of the airport is completed, they are hoping to get 7,000 private jets a year.
Wow. doesn't that tax the infrastructure of a little town like Coos Bay or North Bend?
Well, the golfers simply get in cars or limos and go down to the golf course, which is about 25 miles away. I don't think that will.
Okay.
But it certainly taxes the infrastructure of the rest of the country because since 1985, we've had a rule adopted at the directive of Congress. It's actually not in the statute. It was in a report attached to the law. And the law was presented as relief for the middle class when they use a company car for personal driving on record keeping. And attached to it was a directive that basically told the Internal Revenue Service that when an executive uses the company jet for personal travel, he's to be charged virtually nothing for using it, which means the taxpayers pick up one-third of the real cost, 35%, because that's the tax deduction on the expense, and the shareholders. Remember, that's where you got to put your 401k money for your old age?
Yeah.
They pick up the other 65 cents, and the executive doesn't pay anything. All he does is pay a few dollars in taxes, and I mean literally a few. A coast-to-coast flight in a private jet for an executive will often cost him in taxes a couple hundred dollars.
And the investors, the shareholders, are really picking up the cost of that perk.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And it's one of many, many, many things in free lunch that I show that the government has done that take money out of your pocket without seeing it. Now, this particular example I used to open it because it brings us back to Adam Smith. Mike Kaiser, who built this golf course with his own money, wanted to play golf in the style it was played in Scotland when Adam Smith wrote The Wealth of Nations in 1776. And, of course, that book, which explained markets for the first time and market economics, has guided the economic policy of the United States throughout its history and especially in the last 30 years.
Wow. And so Kaiser has recreated the rocky coast of Scotland along the rocky coast of Oregon. And is this golf course like the one that Jack Abramoff took Tom DeLay and the buddies to?
That's exactly right. DeLay and his friends were taken on the infamous $250,000 golf excursion to St. Andrews in Scotland, which is the official home of golf, to play at a very similar sort of course. And, by the way, this place is absolutely gorgeous. It's terrific. It's the Zagat Guide rates says that two of the Bandon courses are the two best in America.
And what's it cost to play golf there, like $500?
No, it's actually one of McKeyser's policies is to price it far less than Pebble Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Pebble Beach, I think, is $500 a round. You can play once a day.
Yeah, and my game doesn't support that level of investment, David.
Yeah, the top price at Bandon Dunes in the peak of the season is about $175, and you can play two rounds. You got to pay for a second round, and you get a discount on that. You know, there are 16,000 golf courses in America. So building a golf course that's a five-hour drive from Portland, Oregon, in a very remote place, the town of Bandon is a little town of 4,000 people or so, you would not expect that to be profitable. And if it weren't for this subsidy, it probably wouldn't be. And Keyser himself, to his credit, acknowledges that he is the beneficiary of this enormous subsidy. And when I asked him about it, he said, well, you know, that's for Congress to decide. If they think it's too much, they can cut it back.
David K. Johnston is with us. His new book is called Free Lunch. And if you live in the Coos Bay area and you have an opinion about Bandon Dunes, good or bad, maybe you think it's been great, it's provided jobs, maybe for members of your family, or maybe you see that with the subsidies that David K. Johnston has described, that they're profiting at your expense. So, Coos Bay, this is your chance to get involved. Call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 is our toll-free number. David, we got about 2 minutes before the break. I wanted to dive into another aspect of free lunch, which has always been a problem for me, and that is when taxpayers are called upon to subsidize professional sports franchises. And the comparison I use is that no one has ever offered to use government money, taxpayer funds, to buy me a radio station. And I think it would be a wonderful thing if there's a municipality somewhere that would like to cough up the money and help me pay for KPBC. I'd love to do that. But left and right, we subsidize millionaires who operate professional sports franchises. Here in the Bay Area, in what is akin to serial extortion, Al Davis has taken the Raiders from Oakland to Los Angeles and back to Oakland, in each case squeezing more money out of governments to subsidize his multi-million dollar enterprise. And in the book, you talk about the windfall that accrued to George W. Bush when, as the managing partner of the Texas Rangers, he greased the way for taxpayer funding for a new stadium in Arlington, Texas.
That's right, Peter. President Bush owes almost his entire fortune to a tax increase, which proves that there is irony in the world, since he's going to go down in history as the big tax-cutting president. What he did was he got together a group of investors, billionaires, and these guys aren't millionaires, Peter, they're billionaires, to buy this failing baseball team, the Texas Rangers, and all they needed to make it successful was a new stadium. Well, these guys, not President Bush, but the rest of all of his partners, they had plenty of money to build their own stadium. But why risk your own money when you can get the taxpayers to give you $202.5 million? So they held an election. Many places there's no election, but in this case there was an election. They voted to raise the sales tax in Arlington, Texas. Now, the election was held on a funny date in January when hardly anybody thinks of going to the polls. And President Bush has always said this was a win-win. Everybody was a winner here. Well, you know, the vast majority of people in Arlington, Texas who paid the extra taxes didn't ever go to a baseball game. It wasn't any win for them. The people whose land was taken by force through the government's power of eminent domain because it was coveted by President Bush and his friends, they certainly didn't come out winners. One family sued, and they got about six times what they were offered for the land after a trial. And remember, this isn't government taking your land by force for a military base or a school or a road, but this is one businessman coveting another man's land, and instead of buying it in the marketplace, getting the government to go blackjack its way into it. And President Bush, his two-thirds of his fortune at a minimum, and I say this having analyzed the president's tax returns and his financial disclosure statements, at least two-thirds of his fortune of about $15 million comes from the Texas Rangers deal, where every single penny of profit came from the taxpayers.
And he reported a long-term capital gain of about $17 million. There's some question about whether that actually qualified as a capital gain because his partners gave him preferential treatment in the partnership split. And you write, based on the stake he bought, he would have earned a bit more than $2 million, but he got far more because his partners gave him a 10% stake as compensation for putting the deal together. And that should have probably been reported as ordinary income at a much higher tax rate. Is that right?
That's right. And the split is a normal deal that you give 10 or 20% to the managing partner. And there were two managing partners in this deal. So that part's not unusual. But it's compensation. And, you know, Peter, this is the very same issue going on about hedge funds and private equity funds where we have the leaders of these funds reporting annual incomes of $1 billion a year, $1.5 billion a year. Two guys have already said that they made almost $3 billion this last year. And yet the tax rate they pay is only 15% because they claim it's a capital gain. Well, their money isn't at risk. When you buy a stock or any investment and it goes up in value, that's a capital gain. But when you're the manager of the fund managing other people's money, that's compensation.
And we got to take a break.
Share.
We'll return in just a moment. David K. Johnston, the author of this new book, Free Lunch, How the Wealthiest Americans Enrich Themselves at Government Expense. You got a question or a comment? Coos Bay, I want to hear from you. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
And let's take a look at traffic here on KRXA. Happy Monday afternoon to you. As you folks get to your destination, we're going to start off with a problem being reported. Well, let's see. Santa Cruz, northbound Highway 1 at Emmeline, the off-ramp still closed because of that road construction. Just want to let you be aware of that. Also want to mention the fact that we do have Santa Cruz County, Highway 9 at 236. A fender bender, two vehicles on the shoulder being reported there. So we're going to pass that along. On the Santa Cruz Mountains, no problems to report in Highway 17. Always good news. We're going to take a look at Saratoga Highway 9 at Jacks Road. We have a left lane blocked because of a disabled vehicle, so we're certainly going to pass that along. And the support brought to you by Office Depot. Printer problems? Hurry into Office Depot through January 19th and get an HP black and white laser printer for only $99.99. After an $80 instant savings, Office Depot, taking care of business. That's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. The latest book from Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter David K. Johnston is called Free Lunch. And if you look him up, K is spelled C-A-Y. It's his middle name spelled out, not the letter that follows J. Hey. And we opened the segment talking about the Bandon Dunes Golf Course south of Coos Bay. Pat's on the line from North Bend. Hey, Pat, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, and say hello to David K. Johnston.
Hey, hello.
Hi.
Hi, Pat.
Hey. You know, really, I don't have a problem with Bandon Dunes out there.
Okay. Have you played the courses?
Well, I work out there part-time, and yeah, we do. That's part of the perks, I guess you could call it.
Uh-huh. And Mike Kaiser, a good businessman and a good guy to work for?
I've talked to him. He seems to be a very nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our biggest concern here in Coos Bay is the LNG plant that Dick Cheney wants to put in.
Right. We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
I'm aware of that. But coming back to Bandon Dunes, how do you feel about the subsidies that he has received? He's a wealthy man. He doesn't appear to need welfare. But isn't that what he gets by cashing in on these powerful taxpayer-funded subsidies?
Oh, exactly. And the wages out there are suppressed. And if I didn't have an extra job, of course I couldn't make it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. David, do you have any questions for Pat?
Well, Pat, let me ask you an interesting question. If the golf course were in Maine, and we were telling you about this, and the same subsidies applied, and you're a taxpayer there, and you're a national taxpayer, you're paying federal taxes, how would you feel about it?
I guess I'd feel jilted.
Well, this is one of the key issues here. In the Coos Bay area, I tell the history of it and what's happened to the good-paying jobs there. And all across America, this same story is playing out, where good-paying jobs are gone, and then the politicians hear from some wealthy guy. Now, this really doesn't quite apply to Kaiser, because he didn't have to apply for most of his subsidies. But they say, give us this subsidy, and we'll create jobs for you. And we're replacing family-wage jobs with low-pay jobs with minimal benefits, often no retirement plan at all except save for yourself.
Oh, exactly. I've lived here 56 years, and I've seen Weyerhaeuser come and go.
Mm-hmm.
And with Weyerhaeuser, when they left, you know, the economy left also.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, Pat, I really appreciate your call. Good to have you listening in Coos Bay.
Hey, big fan.
All right, thank you. And Tom's also, I think we have the entire listening audience checking in today. Hello, Tom.
Hi, Pete. How's it going?
Good.
Mixed blessing with Bandon Dunes. Yeah, the subsidy in principle does bother me. And unfortunately, I don't know if he threw in, they originally got a five-year tax abatement, and that's been extended now for another 5 years. And we're really suffering in terms of our budget here, but we're giving them a tax write-off.
Yeah, that's in the book. One of the things I point out is that the savings that Mike Kaiser gets from the tax abatements hardly seem worth the effort. And the state had to create a special zone just for him to be able to get this savings of,
exactly.
I think it's about $99,000, I calculated.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not even sure he wants it. Actually, the airport thing bothers me a little bit more. Several of the counties or the towns in the eastern part of the county tried to file a lawsuit to get out of that thing, but that that passed, and we're all basically subsidizing those private jets flying in here, and I think that is a negative. A positive is, in that same area, they're trying to mine chromate, do coal bed methane. Of course, the LNG was mentioned by the other thing. We're basically prey to a lot worse things than the golf course. So I'm going to say, on balance, I think I'd rather have a golf course.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate the call today. Always good to get another opinion. David K. Johnston will stay with us through this hour. Call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
What exactly did Hillary say? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. I keep hearing that Hillary Clinton dissed Martin Luther King during one of her Q&A sessions in New Hampshire by crediting the Civil Rights Act to a white president, Lyndon Johnson, instead of to Dr. King. And I asked myself, well, I know she can be cold and calculating, but is someone who wants to be president going to stand up and diss MLK? I don't think so. So I went back to her original comments. Now, Barack Obama had been talking about the importance of the inspirational speeches that he's based his campaign on and was pointing out that John F. Kennedy and Martin Luther King Jr. also delivered such speeches. Mrs. Clinton, who thinks experience is more important than speeches, was trying to turn his argument back on him, pointing out that these men didn't just give speeches.
President Kennedy was in the Congress for 14 years. He was a war hero. He was a man of great accomplishments.
No debate there. Then she talked about MLK.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. led a movement. He was gassed. He was beaten. He was jailed.
In other words, he had experience. Then she mentioned LBJ.
And then he worked with President Johnson to get the civil rights laws passed.
Now, was she saying that Martin Luther King was somehow inferior to a white president? No. She was saying the king got a president to do the right thing. And I know we're all desperate for controversy, but there's only one word for the debate that's broken out over this particular speech. Bogus. Now this.
So, hon, how do you want your hair done?
Oh, I just want to try something really different.
Okay, well, if we trim your disorganized finances, layer your expenses, and give your late invoicing some body, you'll look just like a movie star.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily handle routine chores, like organizing finances and tracking expenses, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a stylist, aren't you?
Award-winning.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat. Created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
Live.
live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Tax breaks, tax subsidies, even for the ultra-wealthy, kind of like crack. I mean, can you ever get enough of other people's money? Talking with New York Times reporter and Pulitzer Prize winner David K. Johnston. His new book is called Free Lunch, and subtitle Creep, well, it's worth it here. How the Wealthiest Americans Enrich Themselves at Government Expense and Stick You with the Bill. There's even a reference to Paris Hilton in this book, and we'll get to her story in a moment. But we've got Mildred checking in from Coos Bay, also wants to comment on the abandoned dunes subsidy there. Mildred, welcome to the program today.
Hello, Peter B. I'm always angry when I call you, but I'm angry that the person who owns Bandon Dunes gets all of this tax break stuff. Because when Bandon Dunes was being considered, what was yacked about in the county was, oh, there's going to be so many jobs and everything, and I need to just a few minutes tell you about what Coos County is. It's one of the poorest counties in Oregon. Number one, when people raise their children, they cannot find work here, and they have to go elsewhere. And so when somebody says jobs, that's really a big deal in this county.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yes, the timber has collapsed, and our fishing is collapsing now, and we're being torn apart. And, yes, I see those jets go over my house on the way to Bandon Dunes. And it is truly beautiful here. This is like a Northwest paradise. But everybody is struggling here. We have the highest child abuse rate in the state. And child abuse is correlated with poverty. And there's all of these things that are going on, and yet, you know, we're all struggling. And then this Yahoo gets all these tax breaks and stuff. Now, I've read the book, and it was excellent, but I really think this is wrong.
All right. David, your comment?
Well, all the way through the book, what I try to show people is this problem of jobs is occurring everywhere. This community was a sort of working man's paradise for a long time, and the economy has changed. But in adapting to that change, we aren't doing the things that will create good jobs. Instead, we're constantly in this business of subsidizing people so that the wealthiest family in America, the Walmart family, gets enormous amounts of subsidies to create jobs at Walmart stores that come with minimal benefits, minimal retirement, and not terrific pay. And this story is being repeated all over the place, and we need to recognize that what we're doing is we have devised systems over the last 30 years that take from the many to give to the few.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're doing. Our national myth is we take from the rich through taxes and give to the poor. Well, we killed the basic welfare program in this country in 1985. And what we do now is we redistribute income up.
Very well put. Now, Mildred, what you described, the child abuse, some of the other issues, these don't show up on anybody's balance sheets, and they're never taken into account in any of the economic discussions or the legislation that precedes these kinds of subsidies. And we see a big business, corporate America, going from town to town and in a race to the bottom. They force communities to compete to give them the sweetest deal, to site a Walmart or to bring a new manufacturing facility into a community. But when you get to the bottom line and when you factor in the cost of public safety and, oh, did we lose Mark? Okay. Sorry about that. Public safety and, you know, some of these other infrastructure costs, David, those are never factored in. And in the book, you point out that repeatedly people promise job growth and tax base expansion and never deliver.
Right. There is no accountability for most of these programs, and they're hellaciously expensive. There's a little town in the Poconos with 8,000 or 4,000 people where they put up $8,000 per person for every man, woman, and child to bring a big retail store there, and it ran the local guy out of business. Now, if you're more efficient and more effective and you can run somebody else out of business, have at it. That's the market. But it's not the market when the government is giving you the money. And this new system that we've devised over the last 30 years, is it was described by one of the people who reviewed my book quite aptly, I thought, as socialism for the rich and market capitalism for the poor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to take just one break for an item that's not in the book, because you wrote an article about Wesley Snipes, the tax resister, that was picked up by the San Francisco Chronicle today. Let's just take a minute to talk about this, because Snipes has rolled up millions of dollars in income over the last few years and has delivered phony checks to the IRS, and he thinks that he's going to prevail in this trial?
Well, if you go to trial in a criminal case, you're assuming somehow you're going to get the jury to free you. Mr. Snipes, who's made $38 million between 99 and 2004 and $85 million if you go back to 1993, has not paid any income taxes since 1999. He hasn't filed a tax return. He filed a claim to get back a lot of money he'd already paid. And his argument is he sincerely believes he's not required to pay taxes. And the U.S. Supreme Court says if you can persuade a jury that you didn't intend to cheat the government, you can use that defense. Now, if you get acquitted, it doesn't mean you don't owe the taxes. You still owe the taxes. The government will still come take your property, but you won't go to prison. Mr. Snipes' problem is that it's kind of hard to argue, I sincerely believe I didn't have to pay my taxes, and then explain why you did the following two things. One, you sent the government three phony checks. They're called bills of exchange for $14 million that were worthless. And secondly, you know, when you sign your tax return, your 1040, underneath it there's a little box that says, I pledge under penalty of perjury that this is the truth.
Right.
Well, with software, they subtly inserted the word no in there, so it says, I pledge under no penalty of perjury. Kind of hard to argue that, you know, you were sincerely believing something, because that makes it look like you were simply shopping around for a way to get out of your obligations.
Wow.
But, you know, we'll see. I mean, he's got a witness list with 70 people on it that names movie stars left and right, Sylvester Stallone and Goldie Hawn and all sorts of people he wants to call as witnesses, and maybe he'll get a jury that that buys this.
Fascinating stuff. Now, I promised Paris Hilton, and in your chapter called Suffer the Little Children, you give us the backstory of the fortune that she stands to inherit. And it was the subject of a great deal of dispute between Conrad Hilton, who was the founder of the company, and his son, Baron Hilton. Give us a quick sketch of the legal struggle that Baron Hilton used to basically change the terms of his father's will.
Well, you know, the day before my book came out, Baron Hilton announced that when he dies, he's giving 97% of his fortune to charity. And there were all these stories about, oh, poor Paris. And, in fact, what they missed is that Conrad Hilton left his fortune to the poor children of the earth. And he wrote this beautiful will about your obligation in a society to care for the poor. And his obligation as a very devout Catholic to care for the poor. And before he was dead, Baron Hilton was scheming to make that will not work out as the old man planned. And within 10 days after Conrad Hilton died, Baron Hilton was in there putting in place his plan to take this money away from poor children. And at every turn, he was rebuffed, and he was turned down, and that he was forced to resign as the executor of his father's estate because of the conflicts of interest. Members of the Hilton board resigned when they found out how he hid information from them. And then finally, one court gave a decision that muddied the waters somewhat, and he used that as a cudgel to go in and say, all right, if I can't have it all, then give me 60% of the income that's supposed to go to those poor children for the rest of my life, and I'll be happy. And you should do this because my father also wanted not just to help the poor, but for the family to control Hilton Hotels. Well, Conrad Hilton has already siphoned off about a third of $1 billion that was supposed to go to poor children. So don't worry about the Hilton family. They're doing fine on that. If he lives to be 90, he'll take $1 billion away from poor children before he gives the residue back. And by the way, what did he do last summer but announce that he was selling Hilton Hotel, the very thing he said couldn't happen if he and why he needed to get all this money?
Mm-hmm. And does Paris have a generation-skipping trust that her grandfather left?
Well, he's leaving a fair amount of money to her. What I examine in the book is this question. You know, here's this young woman whose every act gets chronicled, who's had herself photographed carrying a Bible to show how pious she is. And the question you have to ask is, what kind of family would produce someone so shamelessly brazen? And my what I show in the book is that a family that would take from poor children.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty shameless right there. So why would you be surprised if you take from poor children that your granddaughter would behave as she does?
Lisa in Eureka, join us on the Peter B. Collins Show with David K. Johnston.
Well, hello, guys.
Hi.
Is it true or not true that when Mr. Walton founded the Walmart company, his idea was basically to give low-cost American-made products to the U.S. citizenry?
You are correct. The original the original mission of Walmart was to only sell American products.
Okay. With that being said, the biggest problem that we have has become the Walmarting of America.
Well, I think it is a major problem. I'll agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, my husband and I went shopping the other day in some American companies, and everything that we touched was made in another country.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Lisa, there's a reason for that, and I tell about this in the book. Our government has a series of policies that most people don't know about that actually encourage moving jobs and property and manufacturing offshore.
Oh, my husband and I do know about this.
Okay. We subsidize this very heavily, and we also, and we've done it, by the way, to the point where we've endangered our national security. I show how a crucial technology moved to China. The Bush administration allowed this to happen and won't explain why.
It involves magnets that are used in high-tech gear.
Right.
Like smart bombs.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
The Waltons, here's the amazing thing. Do you own a house, Lisa, you and your husband?
Yes.
How much you pay in property taxes a year, round numbers?
Well, I actually don't know because we rounded them into our payments. So it's probably about,
It's
probably about $2,600 a year.
$2,600 a year. Well, if you were the Walmart Corporation, and you made you pay property taxes at the rate they pay it, a person who makes $50,000 a year's property tax on their home would be $120 a year. And I show in the book how this is the case. You're paying $2,600 for your house. They're paying on the equivalent of a $50,000 income for a family $120 a year for property taxes. They're paying a
on their stores on each store or on
no.
Total
per their income. I'm measuring against your income. A homeowner who makes $50,000 in this country typically pays a property tax of between $800 and $2,500, depending on where they live.
Mm-hmm.
But Walmart, on every $50,000 of income, pays $120. And here's the real shocker. Lots of Walmart stores are exempt from property taxes, and when you shop in those stores, along with the stores of other places like Home Depot,
uh-huh.
The sales tax that you are required by law to pay at the cash register never goes to the government. The allows the store owners
So we know about all this stuff, but how do we stop it? Our government has given, license for these people and these corporations to act as individuals and become richer than they already are. How do we stop it? I mean, it's wonderful to point out all these things that are wrong, but without a solution, what do we do besides get frustrated or to bang our heads?
All right, go ahead, David.
I do offer a solution. It's right in the Constitution. We've spent 35 years trying to control the political system through campaign finance reform, and it hasn't worked. It's made things worse. And the Supreme Court is very hostile to it. It says campaign donations are free speech. Dollars are free speech. And what I recommend is that we stop trying as taxpayers to get a free lunch and not paying the full cost of Congress. We should stop allowing members of Congress to fly around in jets, get $250,000 vacations and free meals, And instead, we should pay the full expenses of Congress, and we should require complete disclosure. But in return for that, we should have zero tolerance for this form of commercial bribery. If a member of Congress takes a free cup of coffee, he should go to prison.
Well, that's why Trent Lott resigned to become a lobbyist, because he didn't want to eat at McDonald's for the rest of his life.
Husband is a state employee, and he cannot take gifts.
That's right. Lisa, I got to run to a break.
Okay.
Thanks for a great call. Always good to have you listening. David K. Johnston, we've got one more segment. The new book is called Free Lunch. It's a must read. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Let's take a look at traffic here on KRXA. Happy Monday afternoon to you. As you folks get to your destination, we're going to start off with a problem being reported. Well, let's see. Santa Cruz, northbound Highway 1 at Emmeline. The off-ramp still closed because of that road construction. Just want to let you be aware of that. Also want to mention the fact that we do have Santa Cruz County, Highway 9 at 236. A fender bender, two vehicles on the shoulder being reported there. So we're going to pass that along. On the Santa Cruz Mountains, no problems to report on Highway 17. Always good news. We're going to take a look at Saratoga Highway 9 at Jacks Road. We have a left lane blocked because of a disabled vehicle, so we're certainly going to pass that along. And a support brought to you by Office Depot. Printer problems? Hurry into Office Depot through January 19th and get an HP black and white laser printer for only $99.99. After an $80 instant savings, Office Depot, taking care of business. That's traffic on KRXA.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a Baba Ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Hi, this is Paul
and Cynthia
of the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, and we'd like to thank you for supporting this locally owned and operated Carmel business for nearly 40 years.
Nestled in Carmel by the Sea, the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden occupy a beautiful space on Dolores between 5th and 6th, showcasing an array of books on local interest, new releases, bestsellers, novels, children's, metaphysical, and much more. Plus, you'll enjoy taking a good look at our music, healing tools, cards, statuary, fountains, and more.
Proud to be a part of the Carmel business community, we invite you to see us soon.
Pilgrim's Way offers one-on-one intuitive counseling in the bookstore. You may call ahead for an appointment or just walk in. Whether you're a local resident or a visitor to our beautiful peninsula, we have something for everyone.
The Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, between 5th and 6th on Dolores.
Discover an imaginative adventure. Pick up a good read at the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour. We're talking with David K. Johnston, reporter for the New York Times, winner of the Pulitzer Prize. And I'm going to spell his middle name for you one more time to avoid any confusion. It's David C-A-Y Johnston with a T in there. The new book is Free Lunch, How the Wealthiest Americans Enrich Themselves at Government Expense and Stick You with the Bill. It's out in hardcover from Portfolio Books. And an excellent read, powerful information, and David K. Johnston really nails these economic issues as they intersect with our politics. And, David, I wanted to see if in our last segment here we can talk about two key areas that involve public utilities, railroads, and electrical generation. Here in California, we went through a dark ages just a few years back, and it was a confluence of events as the cost of electricity skyrocketed, the amount of electricity being generated dropped sharply. And it was clear that Enron and El Paso Natural Gas and others were gaming the market at the expense of California. We had a governor who was on his knees politically and was ultimately recalled, and he was scrambling, trying to do anything to keep the lights on here at huge expense to the taxpayers. And billions of dollars were sucked out of the California economy, and we will never see that money come back. You profile Enron as it relates to the Portland utility, and they ultimately lost that in their bankruptcy. But as they owned it, they were busy getting taxpayers to subsidize their business and really raping the ratepayers as much as possible.
Yes, and what I show in the book is that in those states where we have adopted market pricing of electricity, including California, the prices are rising faster than in the states that stayed with government regulation. And, you know, that was the big promise Mr. Reagan made. The government is the problem. Markets will provide the solution. Well, if you have a real market, you get efficient prices and lower prices. But the government has set up markets, and I show that there were experiments that prove this, as well as the real-world evidence we have, that by their very design, raise prices and push them up to near monopoly levels, so that you get the benefits of being in a free market, if there's such a thing as a quote-unquote free market, and monopoly pricing. And this situation is so bad that after my book came out, General Motors and its arch nemesis, Ralph Nader, joined hands to go to the federal government and say, these are unjust and unreasonable prices. Stop this. You're killing our business.
Just amazing. Now, in the electrical generation arena, we also see that Warren Buffett, who generally has a pretty good public image, despite his status as one of America's richest men, he, of course, gave his philanthropy to Bill Gates to be distributed through the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, got a lot of rosy publicity for that. But he's been playing hardball, even with small towns that just want to generate their own power.
That's right. There are six small towns that wanted to lower their electricity prices by having municipal power instead of power from the utility company he controls. And they went to the legislature of the state, Iowa, and got a bill introduced. And the leadership then called in the other Iowa municipal electrics and said, if you help anyone try to remove Mr. Buffett's company, we are going to tax you, and we're going to pass a law limiting you so that you can't go into any of the line of business, like, you know, providing cable TV or anything else. So, he played real hardball so he could charge 40% more than the market. And last year, Warren Buffett's electric utility got an interest-free loan from the taxpayers of two-thirds of $1 billion. They only have to pay half of it back 24 years from now. Now, imagine if you bought a house, Peter, back 24 years ago, 1984, mm-hmm. in the prices of 1984, and this year, having never had to pay interest, you had to pay back half the cost of that house. You think that deal alone would make you a wealthy man?
I think it probably would. Yeah, that's sweet.
Imagine the scale now that Warren Buffett's doing this on, and how much you and I as taxpayers are enriching him, not because of the market, but because of this corporate socialism.
Let's talk to Deborah in Carmel by the Sea. Welcome, Deborah. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good afternoon. Mr. Johnston, I'd like to come invite you for a very long visit to Monterey County on the Central Coast in California. If I'm allowed, I could go.
That would be terrific.
Well, the examples of charity given to uber-rich people are just endless. As an example, the city of Seaside, they're hell-bent on doing eminent domain so that Reggie Jackson can build a multi-story hotel.
I didn't know about that one.
There is no need. The city of Marina next door, a developer who already has rights to build over 1,200 houses on the former Fort Ord military base, just discovered that there's this tiny little sub-loan problem. So the city said, well, don't worry, your pretty little head. We'll take out a loan for $70 million to do your infrastructure, and then someday in the future, you can think about paying us back.
Mm-hmm. Deborah, let me stop you because the clock has run here. David, is there an email address where people could contact you to invite you to come and speak?
Oh, absolutely. If you go to my website, freelunchthebook.com, there's my, I put all my phone numbers on there, home number, everything else, so you can reach me.
Okay. So it's freelunch.com?
Freelunchthebook.com.
Thank you.
All right, Deborah, thank you for the call. And David, as always, thanks for the hard work you do, and you make it entertaining, too.
Well, Peter, thank you.
Well, it's my pleasure. Now, where can I get some subsidies? Can you get back to me on that?
You got to get really rich first. Then the government will give you subsidies.
Oh, damn. Thank you, David.
Take care.
That does it for this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Catch the podcast if you missed part of it or want to share it with a friend. Log on to peterbcollins.com. This program produced in San Francisco by the amazing Katrina Rill. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
This election tells us the exit polls were right. George Bush lost this election.
An explosive new documentary.
The scope of the theft is almost unfathomable.
Journalist Bob Kohler calls it very powerful. Urgent viewing if you care about democracy.
With these machines, you can alter the outcome of a national election undetectably.
Mr. Curtis, are there programs that can be used to secretly fix elections?
Yes. I wrote a prototype that did just that.
What he found was an extraordinary threat to national security.
A vital and important work, says journalist Brad Friedman.
Look at the pattern of the past few elections. We have every reason to believe that the 2008 election is going to be manipulated.
See the West Coast premiere of Uncounted in Sacramento tomorrow night at the Crest Theater, 5:30 and 8 p.m. Oakland at the Grand Lake this Thursday at 7 p.m. Brad Friedman and David Earnhardt present. Details at uncountedthemovie.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A Michigan woman has this question for the candidates.
What's going to happen for the middle class? We're getting hit hard.
The economy is the big issue in tomorrow's Republican primary, and the White House wannabes crisscross the state today, each man claiming he's the best man to turn things around.
I want to look you in the face and say, I will not leave Michigan behind.
John McCain promises to create new jobs in place of old ones. CBS News correspondent Chip Reed traveled with Mitt Romney today.
With Michigan suffering the highest unemployment in the nation,
it's good to be back in Michigan.
Mitt Romney based his entire campaign here on his plan to save the Michigan economy.
And the burdens on American manufacturing are largely imposed by government. And new leadership in Washington can lift the burdens and lift the industry.
Romney, a successful businessman, says the focus should be on reviving the car makers, who will then be able to create more jobs.
Cholesterol. It can come from fettuccine Alfredo, but also from your grandpa Alfredo.
The cholesterol drug Vytorin comes from Merck and Shearing Plough. It's a combination of Zetia and Zocor. In a clinical trial just made public by the two companies, neither Vytorin nor Zetia alone were found to have any medical benefit.
This was just a stunning result. We'd always assumed that adding a second drug to lower cholesterol would have an incremental benefit over, the traditional statin medications that we use so widely.
Dr. Stephen Nissen, chief cardiologist at the Cleveland Clinic, now says Vytorin and Zetia are drugs of last resort. The Taliban are suspected in today's bold attack in the capital of Afghanistan. A suicide bombing followed by gunfire killed seven people at the Serena Hotel, where many Western diplomats and journalists stay. CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick was there recently.
This is a luxury hotel in downtown Kabul. It's a place where a lot of foreigners gather. Not only do they stay there, but they hold meetings there. In fact, some of the first people I saw when I went into the lobby of this hotel were U.S. soldiers in uniform. So a lot of meetings are held there involving the U.S. military as well.
The Bush administration is closer to a final decision on a troop surge in Afghanistan. About 3,200 Marines are being told to get ready. Selling cars used to be all about going fast or going in style, but at this year's Detroit Auto Show, it's all about going green. WWJ Radio's Jeff Gilbert checked out one model.
There are a lot of hot sports cars at this show, but the Fisker Karma is different. At its heart, it's an electric car.
When you plug this vehicle in every night and let it charge overnight, you'll be able to go the first 50 miles without using any gas and on zero emissions.
Founder Henrik Fisker says an onboard recharger kicks in after that. He wants to get this vehicle on the market late next year at a sticker price of around $80,000. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
The Dow up 171 points today. This is CBS News.
Today's most fuel-efficient midsize cars can get about 30 miles per gallon. In a hybrid car, about 50 miles per gallon. But the CSX trains that bring those cars to you, they can move a ton of freight, 423 miles, on a single gallon of fuel. Too bad we can't all drive a train. Go to CSX.com to learn more about our commitment to protecting the environment. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
So, when do you think we can start drywalling?
Well, once we lay down these nagging paycheck calculations, we can put up those payroll deductions and start pouring the tax limits.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why so many businesses nationwide rely on QuickBooks Payroll to easily handle creating paychecks, calculating payroll deductions, and preparing tax filings, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a contractor.
For over 10 years.
QuickBooks Payroll. Get back to business. Learn more at quickbooks.com/payroll.
Are you a wine snob? You might not think so, but the results of a new study suggest that for many people, taste is not the most important criterion. CBS News correspondent John Harchi reports.
Do people think wine tastes better simply because it has a higher price tag? California Institute of Technology researchers put that question to a scientific test, asking 20 people to sample wines while undergoing functional MRIs of brain activity, the part of the brain recording pleasure lit up more for the pricier labels. True even with a trick. Putting a high and low price on the same wine. Tasting the samples with a higher price tag registered higher brain pleasure readings.
After the New Hampshire primary, Democrat Dennis Kucinich and Albert Howard, a Republican who got just 44 votes, demanded recounts. But they'll have to pay, and the New Hampshire Secretary of State's office estimated today that a recount would cost Kucinich nearly $70,000 and Howard nearly $60,000. They have until 3 p.m. tomorrow to cough up the money. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
9, 10, 11.
Hey, Zinc, what's with the push-ups?
100. Oh, hey, vitamin A. Just beefing up for the new Centrum Silver. It's all about health protection.
And how do we help protect people's health?
By getting totally buff.
No, Zinc. We help protect people's health by working together. Like CNE supporting natural cell repair.
So I did 100 push-ups for nothing?
No, you did 12 push-ups for nothing.
New age-adjusted Centrum Silver. Working better together.
From A to Zinc.
Former Hershey syrup users are telling us why they switched to Rich Chocolate Ovaltine.
I was looking for something more nutritious for the kids because they drink a lot of chocolate milk. I never really thought about Ovaltine until we went to my mother-in-law's house. Now, that's all we drink. I even got my mom to try Ovaltine. She was a die-hard Hershey syrup person. She was here watching the kids, so she had to drink Rich Chocolate Ovaltine. She loved the Ovaltine taste. Now she drinks it too.
Ovaltine. Try it for the nutrition. Keep buying it for the taste.
More Ovaltine, please!
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show as we launch into the free speech zone. Your calls and comments welcome. Any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And the call is toll free. I actually write the check every month myself to pay for it. 888-5-PETER-B.
That's girl, that's one with a defect. Silvain trick, grab the correct. Red dogs under legal legs. So good that he gets down in bed. She is watching the detectives. Ooh, it's so cute. She is watching the detectives.
Well, John and Julie Doolittle have been watching the detectives, and maybe they got tired of it.
Ooh,
Melanie Sloan returns to our program for a weekly update. She's Executive Director of CREW, that's Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And when you heard that John Doolittle has announced his retirement, did you take a victory lap, Melanie?
Oh, I thought of you, Peter, right away. I think there are a few things you have enjoyed talking about over the past couple of years as much as the terrible deeds of John Doolittle.
Yeah.
And I have to say, it's kind of be just slightly disappointing that he's retiring and somebody can't just beat him, isn't it?
Well, it is, and sadly, he's probably going to convert his campaign accounts to a defense fund and give Julie another 15% commission.
I have no doubt, in fact, that he is going to do that so that they can both live off of it, because now he's going to be looking for a job.
Yeah. Well, it is gratifying in many respects that he finally got the message. It's too bad that our Justice Department didn't decide to prosecute him, that the House Ethics Committee has never even reviewed his jacket, has it?
Oh, no, it hasn't. But the first thing is we have to realize that John Doolittle didn't just sort of realize he needed to go. John Boehner, the House Minority Leader, called him to the carpet and told him he had to go.
Mm-hmm.
So he hasn't really had a choice. There have been stories after story in the Capitol Hill newspapers, Roll Call and the Hill, of Republicans pressuring John Doolittle to leave. They were very afraid they were going to lose his seat, which is a very firmly Republican district.
Right.
But the scandal surrounding him is so big, and it has caused other members to lose to Democrats, and the Republicans in Congress don't feel they can afford to lose another seat, and they were pushing very hard. So John Doolittle was told by the National Republican Congressional Campaign Committee that they weren't going to give him any money for his race. Everybody under the sun sat him down and said, you have to go.
Yeah. Well, how come they can't say that to Jerry Lewis or some of these other Republicans who have very serious ethics issues?
Well, so far they're not saying it to Jerry Lewis because Jerry Lewis doesn't look like he's really in danger of losing the seat to a Democrat.
Yeah.
That's a district that Jerry Lewis has won with, I think, over 68% of the vote on his last election. So they don't really view it as a serious problem. On the other hand, John Doolittle was a very good shot to lose his seat because folks in his district really are sick of the scandals. You know, we talk about the Jack Abramoff scandal, but, you know, it isn't even just the Jack Abramoff scandal. There are sort of three big problems that John Doolittle has. First, as we've discussed so many times, his wife receives 15% of every dollar they take in campaign funds, so they've been skimming off the top for a long time. There have been numerous bad articles about that, including in the Sacramento Bee. Then there's the Jack Abramoff scandal, which he has been under federal investigation for.
Yep.
And Jack Abramoff was paying Julie Doolittle for work not done so that they could basically transfer money to the Doolittles, because John Doolittle, Mr. Mormon anti-gambling, was helping Jack Abramoff's gambling clients.
That's right.
And then on top of that, there's the other big scandal that people probably know a little less about, and that's the Brent Wilkes scandal. And Brent Wilkes just recently was convicted. He was a defense contractor here in Washington, and he first came to public attention in the Duke Cunningham scandal, Duke Cunningham being the San Diego congressman who went to jail for 10 years for taking bribes. Well, as it turns out, one of the people bribing him was Brent Wilkes.
Mm-hmm.
Brent Wilkes was taking him on outrageous trips to Hawaii, where there was a lot of interesting testimony at his trial about prostitutes that he and Duke Cunningham were sharing. But it also turns out that Brent Wilkes is very involved with John Doolittle. And Brent Wilkes, like Jack Abramoff, had hired Julie Doolittle, and she apparently, in addition to fundraising, had a, quote, event planning firm where she would plan events that didn't really happen. And Brent Wilkes, like Jack Abramoff, paid Julie Doolittle tens of thousands of dollars, which obviously went to the Doolittle's pocketbook, and she didn't really do anything for that money. So Julie Doolittle under investigation for that, and the real reason that John Doolittle's under investigation is this was becoming a real pattern that we saw in the Republican Congress. Since members of Congress couldn't take additional salaries in themselves, they would have people like Brent Wilkes and Jack Abramoff pay their wives.
Yeah.
This is something we saw a lot with Tom DeLay, whose wife, Christine DeLay, was at one point paid $60,000 just to find out other members of Congress's favorite charities.
Oh, beautiful. And the Pombo family, Richard Pombo, exited Congress last year after a contentious reelection battle in the Modesto-Stockton area. And he had put his brother and wife on the campaign payroll for a long time.
That's right. And people are just getting, they're a little scandal fatigued. And John Doolittle could no longer count on the goodwill of his constituents after nine terms that they would overlook all of this scandal. People are just ready for a change. And the Republicans have said that they were going to clean up Congress, and they've realized they really can't just continue to say they're going to clean it up with leaving the people with the worst track records in office. And that's why there was so much pressure on John Doolittle to leave.
Melanie Sloan with us, Executive Director of CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Their website has a lot of great information, citizenforethics.org. Now, Melanie, one of the interesting anomalies here in President Bush's last year in office, the lamest of the lame duck period, is that he has decided to take on congressional earmarks. Now, on the one hand, I'm as offended as anybody at the way these spending bills are inserted, often at the last minute, without scrutiny, without even approval of the committees that approve the legislation in question. And so it is a process that I would like to see eliminated, or at least completely operate in broad daylight. But to hear George W. Bush saying that he's researching executive powers in ways that he might just strike these earmarks out of their budgets and give the money to charity or, I don't know, some other diversion, this strikes me as even more questionable than the earmarks that he's trying to clean up.
I know there are so many problems, but it's really hard to know where to start, isn't it? First, it's just so incredibly ironic. You have to wonder how George Bush can say with a straight face that he's now troubled by earmarks. Apparently, he's only troubled by them now that the Democrats are in control, because over the past 8 years or 7 years of his administration, earmarking has been incredibly out of hand. This is something that has taken off under the Republican Congress, and he never had an he never saw a spending bill he felt the need to veto or even rein in. He was willing to let the bridge to nowhere go on. There was no stupid funding project that he wasn't willing to sign on to, including the Teapot Museum in North Carolina. As long as it was a Republican funding priority, hey, no problem. But now that it's a Democratic funding priority, he's opposed. Now, you know, at least CREW has been consistent. We're opposed to all these earmarks. These are bad for the American taxpayer.
Mm-hmm.
We all are losing out so that members of Congress can just fund their pet projects, and even more important than just the pet projects in their district, they can fund their favorite defense contractor who in return gives them massive campaign contributions.
Oh, like John Murtha.
Like John Murtha, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Who, by the way, there was a strong editorial against him in the New York Times today. Turns out every single, everybody he was earmarking for, miraculously, every single one of those people was a campaign contributor.
Shocking.
I know, it's shocking. But that said, let's go back to George Bush for a second. So he says he's going to rein in earmarks, and I have a lot of questions constitutionally about how this is going to happen, because Congress does have a legislative prerogative to include spending projects in appropriations bills, and how he's going to stop that, I think we'll have some constitutional issues. Also, it leads us to yet another example of the Bush administration's efforts to expand executive power. And CREW has been very much opposed to that. We've had the litigation about the Secret Service visitor logs, where they've said those aren't agency records,
right,
where they've said the White House Office of Administration isn't an office subject to the FOIA, even though that's just about computer records. So we've been going after the administration on this expansion of executive power, and here's yet another place where the Bush administration is saying, yeah, we're going to stomp all over your congressional prerogative. We're going to say you can't have earmarks, and I'm going to find a way to stop you.
Well, and if he finds a way to divert it to a charity, it'll probably be the same charity that Dick Cheney is threatening to give his Halliburton stock option profits to.
Yeah, what I think they're mostly going to do is look for a way that they can try to embarrass the Democrats, because I think the constitutional problems may be too difficult. So they'll say, well, you know, if you give up all your earmarks, we'll fund, for example, SCHIP, the children's insurance program.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the way he's going to try and end up playing it. But I think, you know, it's interesting. Republicans may be the ones that stop him here, because it's not exactly like Republicans aren't getting their fair share of earmarks. They're getting half the earmarks, and people like Mitch McConnell and the Senate Minority Leader, and all the top Republican appropriators in the House, like Jerry Lewis, they're not about to just give up their earmarks so that George Bush can make a point.
Right.
They're there for the long term. George Bush is out of here in a year.
We're talking with Melanie Sloan from CREW, and one of your recent projects is a new website called governmentdocs.org. Tell us what docs are available and who can access them.
This is a pretty cool database, and we started this so that we would put all of the documents we get through all our Freedom of Information Act requests online, and they would be up on a database, and they would be searchable, so that you could enter, for example, Jack Abramoff, and they wouldn't just be regular PDFs, but you could search the names and find all the documents with Jack Abramoff in them. And we have documents from all of the different FOIAs we've issued to the Department of Interior, the Department of Education. But then we realized it's not just good enough to have all of our documents on, but wouldn't it be great if all other agents, other nonprofit organizations could bring their documents on as well? So far we've been working with organizations like the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the Sunlight Foundation, the Project on Government Oversight, and Public Citizen, who've all also agreed to start putting their documents online. And the goal here is so that all these documents, all these government documents will be in one place in a searchable and taggable format so that people around the country who might have a totally different reason for looking at them might find something interesting in them.
And I just searched for John Doolittle. A couple of entries come up. Some calendar entries from former Interior Secretary Gail Norton. That would relate to Indian gaming or Indian tribes, the gambling issues that you raised about Doolittle, who says he's opposed to gambling. And there's also a reference to the FERC docs. We were talking just before you came on about California's energy crisis, and FERC is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission that did absolutely nothing to help Californians as the lights were blinking and the costs were going up. So this is a great database, government, D-O-C-S, governmentdocs.org. Check it out for yourself. Melanie, thanks for talking with us today. We'll check with you next week.
Sounds good, Peter.
All right, Melanie Sloan at CREW. Again, her website, citizensforethics.org. We're going to take a break and return. The lines are jammed, so I won't give you the number, but we'll go to the free speech zone next and see what's on people's minds. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays
following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, the Scott Dick Show. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Take a look at traffic here on KRXA on this Monday, and going to get you caught up to date with a problem being reported right now. It is in Corralitos, Freedom Boulevard at Corralitos. It's a car spun out into the front yard of a house. We do have a tow truck on scene. Boulder Creek, Bear Creek Road at Deer Creek. There's a rock slide blocking both lanes, so be advised traveling in that area. And in Watsonville on Mar Road at Little Hill, there's an injury crash. The roadway is completely blocked by an SUV that overturned it and then landed upright. And the fire department crew is on scene, as you might imagine, and also police there as well. In fact, CHP is on scene. So that's an ongoing situation. This report brought to you by Unisom. Unisom is the only sleep aid without a prescription that is clinically proven to help you fall asleep faster, sleep longer, and wake up feeling refreshed. For a healthy sleep that works every time, choose Unisom. And that is traffic on KRXA.
You'll turn to that station.
You flipped on the Peter B. Collins Show, and thanks for not flipping me off.
The world is collapsing around our ears. I turned up the radio. I can't hear it. And I got to the house.
We are taking your calls in the free speed zone, 888-5-PETER-B. All the lines are on hold right now, but when somebody hangs up, give us a call and we'll hear your comment. 888-573-8372. Tomorrow, we will be live in Sacramento from the studios of 1240 Talk City, KSAC. And all our Sacramento area listeners are invited to the two screenings of Uncounted at the Crest Theater, one at 5:30 and another at 8 p.m. I'll be over there after the first screening and before the second. We'll do some Q&A with Brad Friedman of bradblog.com and David Earnhardt, the producer of the film Uncounted. And I hope to see you there. Also, the film will be screened in Oakland at the Grand Lake Theater this Thursday night. That's at 7 p.m. And in the radio business, things come and go and things do change. We're often in a state of flux. For the past month or so, we've been enjoying a live broadcast on Green 960 in San Francisco. And for our Bay Area listeners, I got word today that there will be a schedule change starting next week, and the PBC show will be heard starting at midnight. Now, I'm clearly disappointed by this. I've really enjoyed the injection of listeners, connection with old friends and fans. And so I would like to invite you to stay in touch with me by dropping me an email. Just check in peter@peterbcollins.com whenever it's convenient for you. And that way we'll be able to develop a Bay Area database and contact you with any program changes in the future or alerts about big guests or others who will be available on the podcast, which will continue to be available at green960.com. So please do drop me an email and we can stay in touch that way. It's peter@peterbcollins.com. Linda in Sacramento, up first in the free speech zone today. Welcome, Linda.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. First of all, I want to say I'm really glad that we have the opportunity here in Sacramento to hear your show.
So. Well, thank you. I love Sacramento, and that's why I'm coming over tomorrow to see everybody.
Well, all right. Well, I'll tell you, I'm a little bit conflicted and embarrassed about some thoughts I'm having about illegal immigration.
All right.
I would consider myself progressive, to say the least, and I've been, you know, fairly marginalized throughout my life, having grown up in the Bay Area and blah, blah, blah in the 60s and all that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I read this thing in the Chronicle the other day about someone that was talking about giving specific numbers about the drain on the resources that is created by illegal immigrants. And I don't think I have a very proper progressive viewpoint on illegals.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they should get driver's licenses, and that goes against what quote-unquote progressive Democrats would say.
Right. Well, Linda, let me offer you a couple of comments. First of all, I believe that there is an overarching effort to cause the American blue-collar workforce to turn against its brothers and sisters. And one of the ways that we do that is by demonizing other people and claiming that, for example, the entire immigration problem is caused by Latinos and other brown people who come across our southern border. Well, there is a problem with Mexicans and others who come here and who don't have legal documents and don't work legally. And I acknowledge that. And we have
I don't have a problem with that.
And we have a right to control our borders. But, you know, almost half of the illegal immigration in this country is by Asians, like Filipinos and Japanese and Chinese, or white Europeans. And yet the whole debate is framed around the people that used to be known uncharitably as wetbacks. And it's an ugly way that Americans are being divided against one another. Now, on the specific issues, yes, there is a cost because we don't allow people who are here without documents access to health insurance, auto insurance. And so I'm one of those people who supports driver's licenses for everybody who's driving because I don't want uninsured motorists out there hitting me and having to hit and run. And Linda, I got to take a break here, but we're not finished.
Sure.
So will you hold on? We'll come back
sure.
to you right after the break here, okay? More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's A Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Yeah. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Welcome to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
Do you have difficulty sleeping? Are aches and pains keeping you up at night? The Amethyst Biomat is a heated healing mat that you lie on to relax, energize, detoxify, alkalize, eliminate pain, depression, insomnia, and improve your body, your mind, and your spirit. It is simple, safe, and effective to use in your bed or massage table. Comes in 5 sizes and is used by individuals and alternative holistic practitioners worldwide. Imagine doing nothing and achieving everything. Call Rachel at 1-888-337-7262 or visit amethystbiomat.com. That's AmethystBiomat.com. And start sleeping tonight. That's 1-888-337-7262 for Rachel, or browse to amethystbiomat.com and get the good night's sleep you deserve.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Upcoming in a couple of minutes, we'll get a live report from Tom Unziker, the Peter B. Show listener who left Santa Cruz on his bicycle, bent on delivering courage to Congress. Thanks for letting me ride home with you today, 34 minutes past the hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. All the lines are jammed, but when we end a call, you can dial in 888-5-PETER-B. Linda in Sacramento is still with us, holding over through the break. And Linda, I just thought of something that I wanted to share with you. Last April, in observance of the 100th anniversary of the earthquake in San Francisco, they published, I guess it was in 06, so it's a year and a half ago, they reprinted full pages from the San Francisco Chronicle in 1906. And on one of them was a screaming headline article about how illegal Chinese immigrants were stealing jobs from Americans. Now, the Chinese had been brought here as cheap labor or even slave labor to build the railroad pass through the Sierra. And when I saw that, it just reminded me how xenophobia and fear of immigration has been a theme that has traveled through American history, and it peaks when economic times get hardest for working families. And if you view it in that broader perspective, I hope that you can at least separate yourself from the extremists in this debate. And there's nothing wrong with separating yourself from progressives on you know, points about immigration. It's a complex set of issues, and I respect people who believe that we should secure our borders. I don't believe those who say we should send everybody home because it's impractical and it would wind up in a vigilante movement that would hurt a lot of people and not help things very much. But as you can see, politically, there isn't room for rational debate about immigration policies, and we see it reduced to gotcha questions about driver's licenses in the presidential debates.
Well, that's what I've been noticing. Is there some kind of answer? Is there anybody that's speaking to this complex issue at all? Is there any hope whatsoever? Because California is in, you know, with its whole budget crisis and everything.
Right.
We look at the numbers. I mean, that's one area where it is draining the resources. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm really glad you called today, and I hope you'll continue to listen. We will touch on this issue from time to time. And
good.
Feel free to call back and air out your disagreements, okay?
Well, thanks very much.
You bet, Linda. Nice to talk to you. Now we go to Paul on line 5 in Carmichael, listening on 1240 Talk City. Hello, Paul.
I'm in Albany, and I listen on 960.
Okay, well, then I have old information, but you go right ahead.
Okay. Well, I have two brief comments, and then I'd like to talk about immigration. because I was once an illegal immigrant to this country. Okay?
All right, Paul.
So my first brief comment is 8 years ago when George Bush was running in the Michigan primary, he had an interview with the editor of what's called a Dearborn African or an Arab American, which is the leading Arab newspaper in the United States.
Right.
Because Dearborn, as you know,
I do. Mm-hmm.
The largest community of Arab Americans.
Right.
And he flat out told the guy, I'm going to get Saddam Hussein. Right? Now, I have heard this interview. I've heard it on the radio. Right? Where he was interviewed by somebody. And yet, why is it that years later, we still don't know or recognize the fact that he had decided to invade Iraq long before he even was nominated to be the Republican contender for presidency.
Well, we have a lame media in this country that's more focused on Paris Hilton and doesn't really like to raise embarrassing questions about the Republican leadership because their interests are quite common.
Okay, now how about lame Democrats?
We have a lot of those.
Okay. I think that the thing that really inspires me about Barack Obama is that he was asked and he said, yeah, I used to smoke pot and do cocaine. Now we have the last two presidents, one who denies he ever did cocaine, and the other one who denied he ever smoked pot.
Right.
And they're goddamn liars. You know?
Okay.
And I think he's an, on that level, he's an honest, upfront, straight guy.
Yeah,
you know?
On that he is. Yeah, right.
You know, and, yeah, you know what? He's not the savior, right? But you know what? We don't have a savior.
Well,
there is going to be no savior.
I agree. He is not perfect. He's taken money from Exelon, this nuclear power generating company. I'm not comfortable with that. But, hey, I'm much more comfortable with Barack Obama than any extension of the Clinton dynasty.
Yeah, he's much more honest, you know. So, anyway, on the subject of immigration, it's a very brief thing, but, you know, I grew up in Ireland. And one of the things that happened after we finally got our country back after 700 years was we had, they made a deal with the British that we could go to England to live. So when I was 19 years old, I went to live in England.
Mm-hmm.
And from the very day I got there, I was entitled to vote. Right?
Yeah.
And the same with any British person who wanted to move from England or Scotland or Wales to Ireland, they had the same rights.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured we stole half of Mexico, so let's not, you know, beat around the bush. Let's just decide, hey, you know what? We need to come up with a solution that says Mexicans have as much right to be here as we do, as me personally, as an Irish person.
Mm-hmm.
And let's start opening up the discussion and deal with it in a really mature way.
Oh, I'd love to see that. Unfortunately, it's more effective in dividing people. It's
That's
a political
right.
wedge issue,
yeah.
And it's been routinely used by members of both political parties for just that. Paul, I got to run. I thank you for a thoughtful call and appreciate having you listening today on Green 960. Now we check in with Tom Unsicker. He's our man with the plan. CourageToCongress.com is the website where you can track his progress. December 15th, he left Santa Cruz on his bicycle with the trailer. The trailer has packets of balls, ping pong balls, to deliver some cojones, some courage to Congress. Tom, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Peter B., and you?
Not too bad. I understand you made it to Texarkana.
Texarkana, you betcha. I'm in Arkansas, just a little bit past. If I went across State Line Boulevard, I'd be back in Texas. But on this side of the street, I can buy a beer. On the other side, I can't.
And how's your progress been over the last few days, over the weekend?
Actually doing pretty well. I've had 200-mile days in a row.
You're amazing. And you're 28? 29? No, you're in your 50s.
I'm 59. I'm going to be 60 in June.
Holy cow. Well, this is a model for the rest of us. And have you had any further repairs, or has your equipment been holding up?
Equipment has been holding up really, really well, knock on wood, but no problems yesterday or today.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is that one observation, if anybody ever tells you that North Texas is flat, they're lying through their teeth.
I've never attempted it, Tom, so I will take your word for it.
Right.
Yeah. And what kind of encounters have you had with opinionated Americans, Tom?
Well, pretty much got into some Democrat country, which was interesting. The city of Bonham is where Sam Rayburn was from. And not only is there a lot of federal money evident there, the roads are a little bit better, there are federal building projects and like that, but people are speaking their minds, and the message that I got in Bonham and in Paris, Texas, was bring our troops home, which is kind of interesting.
Well, it's important, too. One of the things we've been pointing out on the show is that as the campaign has morphed out of Iowa and New Hampshire and become more national, the themes that were driving the Democrats about the war in Iraq and the failures of the Bush administration are kind of fading into the background with a more populist economic message and kind of a race to see who can propose a bigger stimulus package to either prevent a recession or soften it if it does occur. And I'm not opposed to economic issues. I think health care is a very important issue, but I don't want to see the war pushed into the back burner.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's like going through Arizona, New Mexico, and most of Texas. The voice that I was hearing was economic. It's what John Edwards is talking about. He's articulating the medical care and economic packages. But now that I'm getting into more, I think the Constitution has to be dealt with. We need to do away with the Military Commissions Act, the Patriot Act. There's so much on the table that needs to be dealt with. I hope that we can move into the national arena.
Well, and I agree. I think that Chris Dodd, while he was never going to become a top-tier candidate for the Democrats, was very valuable in focusing, you know, pretty narrowly on those issues of the FISA law, the NSA spying program, habeas corpus, and torture. And I really think those are important issues, and I don't want to see them just kind of peeled off. And yes, you know, Barack Obama has taken a position to close Guantanamo Bay. But he hasn't been talking about that recently. From what I can tell, the last time he said that publicly was a month or two ago. And so I want to keep the pressure on. I think progressives need to do that so that they realize that they can't just kind of, you know, feed us political cotton candy in order to avoid making mistakes or saying something that might turn off other voters.
I couldn't agree with you more, Peter B. It's interesting to see which way they're trying to spin the debates. Don't know what's gonna happen.
Yeah. Tom, I need you to hurry up a little bit because I'm going to be in Washington next week, Wednesday night, Thursday, and Friday. We'll be originating the show from the Families USA Healthcare Conference on Thursday and Friday at the Mayflower Hotel. Any chance you can get there by then?
Not unless I get a JADO unit, but I will be crossing the Mississippi day after tomorrow, I hope.
Great.
But just one quick observation. It does go back to the economic issues. I went through a little town called Clarksville. Excuse me. You know, the last train to Clarksville.
Yeah, I remember the monkeys.
From the monkeys, you got it. And the on the west side of town, there was a Walmart that had evidently closed down about a month or so ago. They were still scrubbing the sign off. And as I rode into town, it was like an economic virus had gone through. There were no hardware stores, there were no clothiers, there was no pharmacy, no general retail at all. It's like Walmart wiped them out and then closed down. The town was pretty much populated by tax accountants and psychic readers.
Oh, my.
I mean, it's something that we've heard about. But this is the first time that I've seen it, and it's a type of economic warfare that has been going on, evidently, in the Midwest for a while.
Yeah, it's the erosion of Main Street, and it really has hit hard. Well, Tom, let's check in again real soon. Tomorrow we'll be in Sacramento, but feel free to call. We'll be live from the radio station over there, but call in at the regular number. We'll hook up through here, and we'll check your progress tomorrow.
Sounds great, Peter B. I'll be hopefully in El Dorado, Arkansas.
Okay, good luck to you, and happy trails.
Thank you much, sir.
Tom Unsicker riding his bicycle to Washington, D.C. to bring courage to Congress. And, oh, they need it. Follow his progress. There's a neat little map up there on the website courage2congress.com. Take a visit and see what you think. Karen joins us from Sacramento. She's a member of Sacramento for Democracy. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Peter B. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, I hate it when you say that.
Why is that?
Because I'm grateful that people call the program. It's kind of a crutch, and as a host, it's always just kind of rubbed me the wrong way because I'm grateful to you. You shouldn't have to thank me. People call in, they have to wait on hold, they get real nervous, and then they get on the air, and, you know.
All that's true, but we're still thankful anyways.
All right.
Because, I mean, if it weren't for you, I really don't know how the community would stay as well connected as it is right now. So,
well, you're very kind. Will I be seeing you at the screening tomorrow?
Oh, you bet. That's why I'm calling. But before I talk about that, I just want to say, you know, I really do hope now, especially with the latest poll numbers in Nevada, that John Edwards creeps back into the conversation. We have him pretty much, it's almost a dead heat, 32% Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton at 30%, and John Edwards at 27%, the newest figures from the Reno Gazette Journal. So I'm very happy about that as an Edwards supporter, and I do think that we need to hear much more of him since the mainstream media is pretty much shutting him out.
Yeah, I agree, and I think Edwards is a powerful voice who needs to be heard. I'm also disappointed that NBC has they first invited and then uninvited Dennis Kucinich to the Nevada debate that's occurring on Tuesday night.
Oh, I think it's awful, you know, and I really would like to hear all three of the candidates, including Edwards, actually say something about that. I mean, I really wish that they would speak up.
Yeah, because Edwards could be next. He could be the next one excluded. Karen, I just have a minute here. I'm a little late for a break, so go ahead to your comment about the film.
Yes, for all our listeners that are interested in the Sacramento area, and we encourage them to come down, it's tomorrow, January 15th. The show times are at 5:30 and 8 o'clock at the Crest Theater, which is at 1013 K Street in downtown Sacramento. And if you've never seen, American Blackout, you should see Uncounted. It really, right now with the last week's cover story on electronic voting systems in the New York Times Magazine, Deborah Bowen's decertifying of the voting systems here, and now Dennis Kucinich is demanding a recount of the votes in the New Hampshire primary. I would think that, this is something that should be on everyone's minds because of the general election coming up.
I agree. Karen, I got to run here, but I will see you tomorrow, and thank you for calling in. Again, we will be at the Crest Theater on K Street in Sacramento. The first screening is at 5:30. I'll be there after that screening with a Q&A of Brad Friedman and David Earnhardt, and then we'll introduce the second screening, which comes up at 8 p.m. Hope to see you there. We'll be live from Sacramento tomorrow afternoon here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Take a look at traffic here on KRXA on this Monday, and going to get you caught up to date with the problem being reported right now. It is in Corralitos, Freedom Boulevard at Corralitos. It's a car spun out into the front yard of a house. We do have a tow truck on scene. Boulder Creek, Bear Creek Road at Deer Creek. There's a rock slide blocking both lanes, so be advised traveling in that area. And in Watsonville on Mar Road at Little Hill, there's an injury crash. The roadway is completely blocked by an SUV that overturned it and then landed upright. And the fire department crew is on scene, as you might imagine, and also police there as well. In fact, CHP is on scene. So that's an ongoing situation. This report brought to you by Unisom. Unisom is the only sleep aid without a prescription that is clinically proven to help you fall asleep faster, sleep longer, and wake up feeling refreshed. For a healthy sleep that works every time, choose Unisom. And that is traffic on KRXA.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. This just in, Dennis Kucinich has sued NBC Television in Los Angeles over his exclusion from the MSNBC debate in Nevada tomorrow. The Las Vegas Review-Journal says Kucinich filed his lawsuit moments ago seeking a temporary restraining order allowing him to participate in the nationally televised debate. Good work on Kucinich's part, but I'm not sure that there is a legal basis for it. By using MSNBC instead of the main NBC network, NBC skirts some of the regulations in the Communications Act. And while I think it's very poor form that they invited him and then uninvited him, chances are they will prevail legally on this. That's my own uninformed, illegal opinion. One more reminder, we'll be in Sacramento tomorrow, originating live from 1240 Talk City, and then we'll be at the Crest Theater. Brad Friedman will be in the house, and also David Earnhardt, the producer of Uncounted, and I'd love to see you there. There's plenty of room in the big theater, and I hope you will come by. Let's talk to Jen in Sacramento. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks. You going to be over at the screening tomorrow?
I'm going to try to make it. I have an environmental meeting actually at 5:30 tomorrow, so I'm
okay.
Going to try to make the later part of it.
Good.
The reason I called, well, first of all, did you get my card?
No, I haven't been in the mailbox in a couple of days.
Okay, well, I sent you one. Anyway, really quick, regarding pushing the Iraqi war in the foreground and talking about economics and how we're living, and yes, it is true, we're all struggling, or at least most of us are. But the point is, people are dying, and I don't know how they can put that in the back burner. I mean, you know, that's just very selfish as far as I'm concerned. We can all get extra jobs or help out each other to make life better, but once you lose a life, you've lost that life. So
Jen, I'm reading between the lines here, but it appears that you're suggesting that Americans be unselfish and consider sacrifice, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, you're way out of line, and be very aware that Homeland Security is looking for you, and this kind of un-American activity will not be tolerated.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. Let's go to Carmichael. I believe this is Paul.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Paul. You're on the air.
Thank you. I didn't hear everything you had to say about Chris Matthews, but I was going to point out a couple things in his defense, although I know he's way over the top and I don't agree with him on a lot of things. He was one of the first mainstream people and loudest to criticize the Iraq war, and I think he, you know, has really been unrelenting in his criticism of Bush and Cheney. And
he kind of goes back and forth, and there's a bit of chameleon to him. There are times when he is very outspoken in his criticism of the war, but at the same time,
how it's being handled, I think more than anything. But.
Yeah, a lot of it is after the fact. At the time of the invasion, you didn't hear him raising any of those questions.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
The other thing, another thing, is that he was one of the real leaders for the defending Valerie Plame and Joe Wilson. He really supported them strongly right at the beginning.
Well, and he took heat from the White House, which he later revealed that they were pressuring Tim Russert and other NBC suits to shut Chris Matthews up. And I give him credit. He did a decent job on those issues.
And you mentioned the Clinton dynasty when you're talking to somebody else. I think that's what motivates his Matthews comments about Hillary. I don't think it's sexism so much. I think he's just very cynical about the Clintons as a group. And he doesn't want to see a dynasty. He doesn't trust them. Look what they gave us. They gave us NAFTA, no health care, welfare reform. So, you know, like I say, I don't agree with them all the time, but I think you got to give them some credit where credit's due.
All right, Paul. I appreciate that. Thank you for your call today.
No.
Holy cow.
No.
Is this Anthony?
Yeah.
Hi, Anthony. What are you doing, working out or something?
Peter B., what time we have? I want to talk about human rights violations, torture.
Yeah? All right, you got 1 minute. Go ahead, Anthony.
1 minute.
Yeah? Can you turn that TV down in the background?
Yeah.
It's distracting me. All right. Go ahead, Anthony.
It's hard to convince human beings that you're torturing them for their own good.
Uh-huh.
Human beings are not allowed to torture other human beings or animals or puppies. But, Peter B.,
yes,
God is allowed to eternally torture human beings. And that's why we have torture on this planet, whether it be Guantanamo Bay, domestic violence, bully police, Abu Ghraib.
Anthony, thanks for calling today. We're going to interpret your remarks and try to figure them out.
Happy trails to you.
Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show today. My email is peter@peterbcollins.com. Stay in touch.
Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
This election tells us the exit polls were right. George Bush lost this election.
An explosive new documentary.
The scope of the theft is almost unfathomable.
Journalist Bob Kohler calls it very powerful. Urgent viewing if you care about democracy.
With these machines, you can alter the outcome of a national election undetectably.
Mr. Curtis, are there programs that can be used to secretly fix elections?
Yes. I wrote a prototype that did just that.
What he found was an extraordinary threat to national security.
A vital and important work, says journalist Brad Friedman.
Look at the pattern of the past few elections. We have every reason to believe that the 2008 election is going to be manipulated.
See the West Coast premieres of Uncounted in Sacramento tomorrow evening at the Crest Theater, 5:30 and 8 p.m. Thursday, in Oakland at the Grand Lake, 7 p.m. Details at uncountedthemovie.com. I'll see you in Sacramento tomorrow.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
Thank you. Thank you.
John McCain, at a campaign appearance in Michigan, promised new jobs to replace the good manufacturing jobs that have been lost by the thousands. Mitt Romney, whose father was an auto industry executive and later governor of Michigan, was talking up his resume.
Leader in the business world, head of the Olympics in Salt Lake City, and of course is governor of Massachusetts. And I am the only candidate with that kind of experience. And frankly, that's exactly the kind of experience that Michigan and America needs in the White House today.
Michigan's Republican primary is tomorrow. Polls show a close contest between McCain, Romney, and Mike Huckabee.
If you want somebody who believes the status quo is just fine, there are plenty of choices. But if you think we need to bring some true differences and changes in this country that work for the working people of this country, then we do have a Republican solution.
Some Barack Obama supporters criticized Hillary Clinton for saying Martin Luther King's dream didn't come true until President Lyndon Johnson signed the 1964 Civil Rights Act. But as CBS News correspondent Byron Pitts reports, Obama is steering clear.
The reaction in the Obama campaign has been, in many ways, this was much ado about nothing. They leave it to others to say whether or not Senator Clinton's comments about Martin Luther King were taken out of context. From their perspective, they want to stay on the issue of change. Obama has built his whole campaign about turning Washington, if you will, over to the people, talking about change. It does not serve his campaign well to get bogged down in discussion about race.
Stock in Merck and Shearing Plow declined today after the drug companies revealed the results of clinical trials on the cholesterol drug Zetia.
It simply didn't work. Adding Zetia to Zocor, which is what makes the drug Vytorin, had no benefits whatsoever at slowing the progression of plaque buildup in the carotid arteries in the neck.
Dr. Stephen Nissen, head of cardiology at the Cleveland Clinic, says the trials found no medical benefit for either drug. Social Security is best known for its retirement benefits, but it's also a lifeline for millions of disabled Americans, and CBS News correspondent Armin Katayan finds they haven't fared very well.
Linda Fullerton is an advocate for the disabled.
I have no insurance, and doctors say I need two brain surgeries.
Her online support site is home to one horror story after another.
She had to file bankruptcy to keep home, losing home with four children.
A two-month CBS News investigation.